Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengowrie. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world. All right, welcome to PFW Pro. Hey, Tucci, do we still use that Patriots Football Network anywhere?
Two gender.
Huh? I just got
what
cut
Patriots
off.
Football Network?
What?
What are you talking about?
The PFN.
Yeah, what about it?
It said part PFW, part of the Patriots Football
yeah,
Network.
Yeah, it's on our print collateral.
The Patriots
are what?
Are what?
Like print advertising.
Print.
Print collateral.
But I don't see it being advertised anywhere.
Are you ever on the website? Because I believe it's on there.
Ooh. Have you guys ever, you know.
Fred yeah, came back with the Fred thing that he does to us.
Dan Tude gender.
I mean, I just don't see a lot of hype for the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, boy. It's game day,
Tude.
Because
Tude,
it's not something
here?
We're going to promote on its own. The Patriots
don't you
Football Network
not
a good is comprised sign. Of
first preseason
all
home
and,
opener.
And Patriots.com
there's
radio
chaos in the
there used to be
today.
A billboard. I figured I got Tude working the board. I should get him involved in the show right away.
Thank God Craig the intern got lunch here in time.
He's the only guy who's capable of doing
good.
Anything.
Well Tucci's back.
He's a man of few words, but a lot of action.
All right.
Yeah, and they get a lot of words in that booth and no action.
All right, welcome to PFW.
Get ready for the best show of your lives, boys.
It is game day here. Everybody's got their game face on, even though game doesn't count. But we're all here. It's a game day show. So PFW in Progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Doc, I thought you weren't going to be here. Doc's in the booth, too.
I'm multitasking, then I'm leaving.
He's on a cell phone.
Tomash was in the booth
other words,
a minute
came
ago.
To get lunch.
I don't know. It takes like three marketing people to put this show on now. It's unbelievable. So
if Doc's here, I'm leaving.
Why are you shouting into the mic? Good.
You should see. He looks like he's 6 years old. He's got his little T-shirt on and his cap. And
it looks like
old.
One of those, you know, the
he does.
The
I had to wear a
one.
Hat because Andy doesn't like
well,
my haircut.
That T-shirt looks like on anyone else it would be cool, but on him it just looks gay.
That's because it's a woman's T-shirt.
Is that what it is?
It looks like a woman's
might
T-shirt
be.
To me.
Yeah.
Are
That's
you guys serious?
T-shirt? Yeah.
Yeah.
It does have that. Yes.
How is it a woman's
That's
T-shirt?
That's the woman's style.
There's a cut. It's cut a certain way for a woman.
It's a crew neck shirt.
No.
I think that's
there's the two seams that come where the breasts would be.
Yeah. You're wearing a woman's shirt.
It's to highlight
right, okay.
the breasts of a woman.
You want me to call Flanders? I'll ask him.
He's driving his
you might have
wife's
to.
Car,
I
too,
just saw so. Flanders walking through the Concorde.
He's wearing her clothes.
With some type of flatbed, so he's ready to do something with it. I don't know. Anyway.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
All right, we should knock off this nonsense and start talking about the game coming up tonight. Paul is filling up his drink.
He goes, we should knock off this nonsense, talk about the game.
Get me something.
But then you know, says, you know Paul's filling up
But you know
cup.
What's unbelievable about it is I'm actually filling up one for him. Knowing that he is actually hosting the show, I figured I'll be a good guy. I'll fill one up for him, and I still got a rocket shot thrown in my direction.
Thank you, Paul.
You're
Are you going to start blogging, Fred, right after this show?
No.
No? What time do you blog?
I'm going to start at 6 o'clock.
What are you doing in here?
People are really excited about that.
Yeah.
No,
they
no one
it
more so.
It lasted.
No one more so than Indian Paul.
The curse words.
So, yeah, I'll be starting blogging at 6 o'clock from the press box high above Gillette Stadium Field.
So you'll have all the early inactives and those kinds of things.
Try to get all that.
Hall of Fame induction.
There's going to be a presentation at 6:15. Two people have already won the $1 million prize from the Patriots lottery ticket, and one of them has a great story. He had got laid off. He's a huge Patriots fan, and he was going to have to move out of Massachusetts to somewhere more affordable.
$1 million.
Just for the hell of it, he bought one ticket and won $1 million. So now he's staying in Massachusetts and is going to remain.
So what, he'll get like $600,000
I don't know,
or something
whatever it is. Well, you get your choice. You get to take
it. Blanket Scalavino's going to come in.
Right.
He really only gets $422,000, but.
What blanket? That's still
Eric's
a lot of
impressed.
Money. That's great
But it doesn't look as cool as $1 million.
Oh, well, yeah, they'll get the big check.
Craig is working on that story, and he reports that they both took the lump sum.
As they should. I heard him say they did off air.
You do have a mic, Craig, you could use if you wanted.
He doesn't need it. He only says four words a day.
All right, that's good. That's okay, Craig. You just keep doing what you're doing.
He walks softly and carries a, you know.
All right.
Eric.
A large lunch order.
All right, so.
Who's the lunch from today, by the way? We should probably
David
get that.
David in New Jersey.
David in New Jersey.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm not sure I know who
it's
David
a special
in New
lunch.
Is.
A game day lunch.
Is there something wrong with my mic, Hi-Ho?
Nope, just you.
I hear a lot of echoing.
I don't hear anything.
Anything
you sound fine.
Anything. Fine, fine.
Maybe there's just something wrong with
hello,
my headphones.
Hello, hello. Today. Consider myself, self.
All right, guys, what has happened since Tuesday that we need to talk about?
Nothing.
From
nothing?
A football perspective.
They had nothing. A walkthrough.
They had a walkthrough, and we haven't had access since then, so
yeah,
very little.
Plaxico Burress is going to prison on a national level.
2 years, I hear?
2 years.
Good. That's the minimum for what he did?
Well, no, but he pleaded. Or pleaded. Pleaded?
I believe that's...
Well, he pled guilty.
I think you... Is it pleaded?
But had he been convicted, the supposed is 3 years, right?
Is that right?
The minimum mandatory sentencing. So that's why he pleaded out.
Okay.
To shave a year and a half or so off.
As far as the Patriots go, Welker was at the walkthrough and did some practicing on Tuesday night. A little bit more than just walkthrough practicing. They had shells.
That's a good point, Fred.
Yeah.
Because they did actually have a regular practice. And because the producer of the podcast didn't show up for it, we didn't get a chance to report that on Patriots.com, over the air on Patriots.com. I'm sure it was in the text updates. Welker was back at practice Tuesday night.
So that was a good note.
And it wasn't a walkthrough. I mean, it was
a real practice.
There wasn't full banging, but for receivers, he was running around catching passes.
He went full speed.
And he went off on a side field with Brady
Galloway.
And Moss and Galloway, and they did
a lot
of
which I thought
group
was interesting.
Stuff.
What do you make of that?
I did, too.
Getting on the same page.
Yeah, working on their timing.
There's been a lot of that.
But why just those three? Why not?
Probably because
they're called the starters.
Yeah.
And there's been other days that it was Brady and Chris Baker doing a lot of that together. There was another day I saw Edelman doing it with Moss.
I'm a little surprised, though, that Greg Lewis wasn't in that group.
Well, he was.
I find that interesting.
He was part of that, it wasn't really an opportunity because it was all the rest of the team except for
those
three.
I think he was still practicing.
He was still practicing with the others.
But I have yet to see, as Paul said, it's Baker, Edelman, Moss, Galloway, but I never saw any Lewis
time.
So
anyway, the four of them are off in a field, Brady, Galloway, Moss, and Welker, and they're working on routes. And it was really interesting. Even with no defenders and no pressure on Brady, it was just really amazing to watch these receivers run these routes, and you can just see if you're picturing yourself as the cornerback, there's no way on God's green earth I could keep up with these guys. It was just amazing the routes that they were running and the head fakes. You could see how even an elite cornerback would lose this guy. Didn't you feel that way?
I mean,
okay.
Did I?
Everybody's just going to be like, oh, "What was the
no,
big deal?"
On the Welker one, yes. If he had enough time to throw, he ran an out and up with a double move, and it took a long time to develop. But yes, I would not have been able to stay with Wes Welker. I would have been trailing him significantly.
And Moss just has the flat out speed when he wants to.
But the third guy, I thought Galloway and Brady never hooked up.
Yeah, that was the that
they
was
were
the
throwing
big,
bombs, yeah. goes, out and ups, and they never connected. Which I'm sorry, but I went the other way. It's amazing that they didn't hook up without a corner.
I see. I look at that just as an opportunity for Brady really to work on the timing with those guys, and I think more so it's Baker and Galloway because they're the newcomers. But I don't necessarily. I mean, how can you tell? I mean, I'm not trying to be a smart guy, but how can you tell if a guy could cover somebody against air?
I just thought that the way, the pinpoint accuracy of the way Welker was running these routes was pretty amazing. How quickly he would make his shift. You didn't find any, you weren't interested at all
how he was doing that?
I'm absolutely.
Very interested in that.
You
but
weren't
I,
impressed at all
I'm
what he was
absolutely
doing?
Absolutely impressed with it,
That's
yes.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm not talking about, I'm impressed with the work ethic.
Right.
I'm impressed with the work ethic of a guy who's been a three-time Super Bowl winner and all everything and has, you know, accomplished what everything there is to accomplish in this game is still never satisfied. That's what I'm impressed with. I can't watch them over on that field and say, I mean, Brady is the most accurate quarterback probably in the game when it comes to that kind of stuff. But if he was, what happens if they make those moves and there's a guy covering? How do you know if a guy is covering him or not? That's the only part I didn't get.
It looks, I mean, I know what you're trying to say, Fred.
Thank you,
the raw
well,
speed,
explain it to me then.
The raw speed and the
right.
precise
right.
Exactly. way that they were running their routes was
exactly.
very impressive.
Exactly.
It certainly was. It's hard to tell, though, like Paul
I don't
said,
see
it's
that.
Hard to
against
tell
air, I can't see how that's impressive.
A legitimate professional cornerback would be able to keep up with that or not. You know, it's... To the naked eye, it looked like that's
impressive.
Hard to stop.
Absolutely.
But, you know, in 7-on-7s and those kind of right. things, it often does look that way. But, okay. you know, what I took from that, though, was a couple of weeks ago, one of you guys mentioned, Chris Baker was the one who was staying out after practice to work with Brady on their timing. And I think, at least so far, it's paid off because he caught the two touchdowns and looked pretty good in that first game against the Eagles. And, we need to see more out of that out of Galloway. I think they might need to spend
a
little more time.
Well, we also need to see more of that out of Alex Smith
and
David Thomas.
Right, but I mean, as long as...
number 84.
Well, 84's got to get back on the field.
Right.
But I mean, the guys who are on the field, 86 and 87, seem to be doing pretty well in that department.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And I'd like to see Galloway do a little bit better there.
Yeah.
So that was a good sign that he was out there doing that with them.
I need to see Galloway do something.
Yeah, like these guys said, Moss and Welker were looking fine, making their catches, running their routes.
Hoyer, I think, connected with Galloway in a long post pattern,
but
I guess.
Yeah.
I need to see it with more regularity. He's a guy who supposedly had great hands early in his career.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just haven't seen great hands.
And, you know, after the game, he was on Patriots Today in an interview and said that it was a timing problem on his part, something that he needed to work on and learn from. So... he's acknowledging the fact that he needs to get better at that.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
Yeah, he hasn't looked really good at all in this
If he
in
can
this
get
camp.
Better. I mean, sometimes guys late in their career can't get better. It's gone.
Yeah.
So. And in his first year here, he's coming off a season where he was hurt the whole time. Only had, 13 catches, I think, last year?
But he did have 1,000-yard seasons, I think, in the last... two out of the last 3 years or whatever it was? Three out of the last four,
something
like that?
15-year veteran? I mean, at some point he's done. It might have happened last year.
Paul might be able to answer this. Let's look at the quarterbacks that Galloway has, you know, played with. Are we talking about a guy, any of these quarterbacks, that relied such on timing the way that Brady does? Is he just not used to the perfection that Brady requires?
Yeah, because he's been in the West Coast offense for the majority of
his career.
It's just quick
outs.
And that's all timing. But... he hasn't had a quarterback the caliber of Brady, obviously. I mean, Jeff Garcia is not bad, but he's not Brady. But look, this offense, and they say this every year, and Andy will be able to speak to this too. They talk about the quarterback and the wide receivers in this offense from a mental standpoint. They put an awful lot on those two positions. You're expected to my old friend, Doug Flutie, used to talk about that a lot during the preseason that he was here. They expect an awful lot out of those two positions. And maybe Galloway
It's just taking a little bit more time to develop, but it's not a good sign. He's not looked very good to me.
But they expect a lot in terms of reading the coverage and adjusting. And
yes.
None of that involves when the ball is 6 inches from your hands, catch it.
But to me, it's all related. It's performance related. And when you're not sure of where you're supposed to be and you're thinking about your cuts and your breaks and your reads,
it affects
everything. And I don't think his hands have been anywhere near the problem as his ability to not be open on a consistent basis.
Oh, see, I've seen him either, A, double catch a ton of balls that he ended up catching,
see,
and
now,
B,
this
just
is,
drop
this
them.
Is one of those things that... And I didn't want Fred to get mad at me, but when I was watching that, and it's just one of those things of when you watch, I didn't see Brady misconnect with Galloway at all when they were over on that field. And
really?
And all three of you said they didn't connect at all.
I didn't say that. I never said that.
It's just, but it just goes to show you how.
I saw one ball hit the ground, and Andy said none of them did. None of them connected. Oh, there was only one ball that hit the ground.
Yeah, see, every time I
saw
him
miss twice on go routes to Galloway.
Yeah, see, I saw him catch three consecutive go routes, and on the last one, he threw it back and walked in between the fields.
Right.
That just goes, when you're watching 80 guys, and you got mad at me when I didn't see something that Edelman did very early in camp.
We're all watching different things at different times.
You know, Andy watched, Andy's not wrong. There's no way you can just sit there and say, he didn't connect with and be wrong.
When there's four guys,
how
on
could
that
you not
field?
See that? I mean, of course, I just was watching something in the team period
at
that
time. I didn't see that either,
and I didn't see every time I watched. I saw him throw three consecutive go routes to Galloway that he caught all three of them. The last of which he threw back and walked in between the fields.
I'm sure
the ball was all over the ground when Andy was watching.
What I saw, and I think Eric, you were watching when I was watching when Welker is doing those moves. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. And I remember, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know the one that you're talking about with Welker.
And the last one, Andy goes, well, but
there's no way that play
Brady would have been.
There's no way that play is taking place in a real game.
You know, because it was like a triple move the guy made. But it was just, it was like watching, you know, an artist at work.
It was very impressive. I was trying to think, like, how could that play actually work?
I have no formal artistic training.
Thank you. Maybe on a flea flicker,
not that artist,
where there is more time for the quarterback to get back and drop and let the receivers get in.
Oh
those
yeah,
roots,
there needs to be a wrinkle in
there
that
has
play
to be
to
something
allow that.
To allow it to happen that long.
Hey, because maybe that you just brought up a good point. Maybe that is one of those wrinkles where, you know, it's a kind of a throwback play.
Right, there's
got
to be something there that's buying that extra 2 seconds.
Maybe he's throwing a quick out to Moss on that play, and Moss is throwing it back to him like he did against Pittsburgh.
Right. Let's be honest.
Because there's no way that's a seven-step
pass pro.
No,
it doesn't matter who's playing,
and
they're going to win.
And that's a good point. All we're seeing is the quarterback and the receiver. We don't know what else is going on there to buy the time.
The 70s Oakland Raiders line with Shell and Upshaw and those Jim Otto, all Hall of Famers, could not have protected Brady long enough to get that pass.
Because, you know, even if you have a deep safety on that play, if there's something that distracts that deep safety, you could see by the end of that play how Welker would be wide open deep. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty interesting.
And they needed to work on the timing
of
the route.
Exactly, because Brady,
without the,
Brady
the rest
can't
of it,
look.
Because
he's got to just
assume
he's going to
be down
there.
Be there.
Right. So I thought that was really interesting and one of the more intriguing things that I've seen in camp so far.
I'm still positive about Galloway, though. I think there's still time. It's tonight we'll see a little bit more. There's still a lot of time for him to get on the same page with all the rest of them. Yeah. You know, we tend to think that because we've seen camp for, you know, more than 3 weeks now, that we're farther into the season than we really are. But
yeah, it's a good point. And with Galloway, and I know that Bill kind of poo-poos this a little bit, and Andy's writing a story on the veterans and stuff and the challenges of taking veterans with proven resumes when they come. Bill always says, we're not really concerned about what they've done. It's what they are now. But I do think there's an element of, I agree with you. I would tend to give Galloway a little more rope because with 14 years of production in the league, I'm pretty sure that he can play if he can pick up what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. Greg Lewis, on the other hand, if I similarly have been underwhelmed with him during camp, I'm a little more concerned about that because he doesn't have the resume to fall back on. He has been a fourth or fifth receiver at best throughout his career.
Does it hurt these guys that we're also comparing him to Welker and Moss?
God, yes.
Who don't drop anything?
Sure. But, I mean, on any team, I mean, if they were on the field with Rishay Caldwell and Jabari Gaffney, they'd look a lot better. Yeah.
But obviously, because when Moss is just reaching up and grabbing balls and making everything look effortless, and as you say, Welker running routes precisely and making them look ridiculously good,
the other guys don't measure up.
Right.
But again, in the case of Lewis, you know, Moss and Welker aren't on the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles saw fit that they didn't need Lewis's services anymore, so that they were able to trade him here. So, you know, it does him a little bit of a disservice to be compared to those two guys, but again, if he could have,
he couldn't make it there.
Right. Right. You know,
was that move made before or after the draft? Greg Lewis
before.
I think it was before. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was before.
Yeah, I think that's even more telling then, because they obviously drafted Jeremy Maclin.
Right. They didn't know they were going to get him, or
you know, you don't know for sure that you're going to get him.
Right.
Yeah. Although with all those wide receivers, if they wanted a wide receiver in the draft, they probably could have felt pretty good that they could get a pretty good one.
I'm going to err on the side. If Greg Lewis was in the right spot, McNabb couldn't hit him.
March 5th, they traded for him.
What's that?
So that's a month before the draft.
March 5th.
Well, more than a month.
Good job, 2G.
I would agree with you, Andy. I think Donovan McNabb is not a stiff, but accuracy is not his strong.
If you really watch him, sure, he's completing passes, and I bet you he has some of those streaks where he starts games with, like, 15 straight West Coast-type completions. But if you watch him, like a guy crossing, he catches it, but he catches it at his shin, or he reaches back and catches it. Whereas most often when we see Brady throw those, he throws it where it's supposed to be thrown. So,
hey, let me ask you a question. This is totally off the topic here, but I heard something this morning coming in. And who do you think among – I don't know if this is all-time quarterbacks or just active, but who do you think among active quarterbacks has the best completion percentage career?
Active?
Yeah.
With a minimum of what?
I like when he gets like this.
Minimum of half a pound of fried dough going down your gullet.
How do you guys take him seriously?
You should see Fred's face. He's all red.
How about Steve Young?
Veterans.
Oh, wait. You said active.
Veterans.
I knew that would piss Paul off.
It didn't. It made me laugh because you had half a pound of fried dough going down your gullet.
Starting QB?
Yeah. Starting quarterback.
Donovan McNabb.
No, he's terrible.
I didn't know.
Jump my
I don't even think he's a 60% guy. And 65 is sort of the benchmark nowadays.
What's his name in Seattle? Hasselbeck?
Drew Brees.
So I'm surprised.
Kyle Orton.
I'm surprised by this because I thought that it would be kind of more obvious. But Chad Pennington.
Sure.
The guys on the radio that were talking about that.
He's not accurate.
Right. The guys that were talking about that on the radio were stunned by that.
Why?
I have no idea. I would think that the reaction that you guys had. Well, you know, the guys in the morning on EEI, you know, Meter and John Dennis and those guys. Well, yeah, look, Callahan wasn't there.
How could they be stunned with that? That's what this guy does. He's accurate.
That is all.
I mean, that's basically why he's successful. Oh, by the way, I said that to him the other night. I kind of forgot that he was there.
You said that is
but,
all.
No, I said, but.
Oh, God.
And he looked at me, and I gave him one of those like I was kidding with him.
Oh.
I'm a pansy, I admit it.
You did that yesterday on the big show, too, and you'll be out soon. You're starting to feel your oats on that show, I noticed, when they were saying.
Paul has options now.
Lou Maloney only repeats everything everybody else says. And Glenn goes, no, actually, he's brought up more good points in his short. And Paul goes, I'm not buying it. I'm with the emailer. And he tried to play it off like it was a joke, like everybody laughed. But it's not. That's how he feels.
But you were the only one that knew that's how I really felt.
Not anymore. Glenn, did you hear that? Paul really thinks that.
You didn't hear the wrap-up of the show then, did you? Tomorrow, Curt Schilling and Lou Maloney, two former players. I go, well, one anyway.
Wow. Wow.
You're out.
I heard, though, you had a good show, Paul, that you put a lot of people in their place yesterday.
No, that's not true.
No?
It was a very boring show. It was all
baseball, but I heard that.
And it was all Veritech.
The one guy who's not there covering baseball knew more about baseball than the other people.
Well, that's true.
as he puts a chicken cutlet down his throat.
Actually, it's pepperoni calzone.
Oh, pepperoni.
I can't argue with that sentiment, though, Fred.
By the way, thanks to David in New Jersey who provided lunch today.
Yes, David.
Appreciate that.
Does he have an email?
No. Did you actually eat the whole thing of fried dough, by the way?
What's that?
Did you actually eat
No, he's got half of it on the table over here.
On the dirty counter.
No plate, just on the table.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's so
You're
going to
eat that, Fred?
It's fried dough.
But it's on a disgusting
Steve DiBiase's bare feet have been on there.
Fred Smellis's snot has been on there.
Seriously, you're not going to eat
you
that now?
Look, the I'm convinced that the less we expose ourselves to germs, the less resistance we have to them. All these
I kind of agree with
all
that.
These people that, using that these hand things and all that stuff. The minute they come in contact with a germ, they're out of work for 2 weeks. Okay, it's us guys that drop food on the floor and eat it. We're the ones who don't get sick. Okay, you see all these people, they're walking into Whole Foods. They're all skinny and they got the runny noses and they look like they just got out of a prisoner of war camp. And the guys,
like Eric?
The guys coming out of McDonald's are hefty and looking good.
And we'll be dead at 40.
It's all right. While you're alive,
live I'm already 41.
I'm talking about
There's
you,
exceptions
Paul.
To the rule.
Right. Anyway, so what were we saying before we...
God only knows.
Somebody's on the phone.
Oh, on the phone. Is it David on the phone?
John in Dallas.
Oh, John in Dallas is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Doing okay, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, can we get back to the Galloway subject real quick?
Absolutely.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I guess what I'm hearing is there's mixed opinions on him, but I think Eric feels that there's still time for Galloway and Brady to click.
Yeah.
So the question
all feel
is this: if you're the coach, how much importance do you put on a player that can add value this year versus a player that can add value this year but in future years? I guess what I'm saying is, if Galloway plays this year, I don't know if he'll be playing with us next year. I mean, he's ancient, right?
Right.
But if you look at a player like Nunn, for example, I know you guys have been kind of, high on him too. I mean, he's had some ups and downs in camp, but probably more ups and downs. Does he, he fulfills a this year need, but also a longer term need at the position. So how do you weigh the short against the long?
Well, I think you go with the guy who can produce for you right away. And in this case, I think it's probably
that's what she said.
Galloway over Nunn at this point.
Well, I think
but
we all
keep,
believe
you
that
keep
Nunn
around.
Can be put on the
right.
practice squad and, you, and no one will take him.
You keep Nunn around and you get him experience in the offense, whether it's on the practice squad or here and there as a fourth or fifth receiver sometimes in games. But I think for the here and now, you have to go with the guy who's capable of doing it right now. And I think given a few more weeks, I think Galloway will be able to do that.
I agree, but the problem I have is I think if Nunn gets put on the practice squad, I think he's going to get snatched. I mean...
Why is
maybe
that?
That's a long shot call, but the guy wasn't drafted right out of Nebraska, but
he took a year off.
And he took a whole year. He was out of football. No one even invited him to camp.
Let me ask a question. This goes to John and all you guys. And I honestly don't know the answer. I think I do, but I don't know. Of all the people that the Patriots have put on the practice squad since they've instituted that, how many people have been snatched up by another team? I think one.
No, a few.
Not a lot.
A handful, maybe.
So I would say a handful in this history.
You're missing. It's not necessarily from the practice squad. It's when you try to get them there, like Garrett Mills a couple years ago.
Right, that's one.
He wasn't on the practice squad. They try to get him through waivers after they cut him,
right.
And Minnesota picked him up. And there's been a few of
and
those.
I think that's the risk with Nunn.
Yes.
I think once he's on
once
the
you get him on
squad,
the practice
he's
squad, he's going to stay. But is it John, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
John,
you mentioned that there's a lot of teams that need receivers, and you're absolutely right. But the Patriots need receivers. The Patriots have top-end talent at receiver, but they don't have a lot of depth there. So if Nunn doesn't cut it to stick now here, I don't really see how he has that much better of a chance somewhere else. I'd be very surprised if you couldn't get him on the practice squad.
I do, because there's not a Moss and a Welker everywhere else.
Yeah, but everybody has two better starting receivers than Terrence Nunn. Every team has two better players than Terrence Nunn at receiver.
And let's be honest, from what we've seen in preseason, he's not that attractive. What we've seen for 3 weeks of practice, we kind of like. But what the NFL is seeing is the Eagles game.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything that is going to make anybody want to claim him.
Matter of fact, he did something that probably would prevent you from claiming him and dropping a
and I'm not saying
pickle.
They're stashing him, hiding him, or anything else.
No.
I'm just saying the fact is the other teams haven't seen what we've seen.
We're very high on a guy based on expectations. It's a guy who was completely out of football last year that we knew very little about. We couldn't figure out why he didn't get a crack.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from a major program at Nebraska where he was very productive, no one gave him a shot. But we've watched him through mini camp now and in training camp, and we've seen the guy catch virtually everything thrown in his direction. So
difficult
the three of
too.
Us have been somewhat surprised by him. But I don't want to get lost and say, in 2 years he could be doing what Randy Moss is doing. I don't think that's possible. I don't think he has that skill set.
Yeah, part of our excitement, like Paul said, is he's a guy who's come out of nowhere. If he were a first-round pick, we'd be saying, All right, we expect a first-round pick to make those.
There's not a starting receiver in the NFL that Terrence Nunn is better than.
No, his upside is like Greg Lewis or
he's very small. You know,
Jabbar Gaffney. His upside is a fourth receiver on a team or something like that.
Right, I understand that, but the thing is, I mean, it sounds like the number three spot's not completely locked up yet, but maybe it's getting close to that.
Well, it looks pretty locked up based on reps. It's Galloway.
Yeah, and there's a Grand Canyon-like gap between Joey Galloway and Terrence Nunn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. But the number four is not locked up.
I would say it is.
Really? I mean, from what I understand, you can plug in. I mean, not what I understand, but from what I hear you guys discussing, it sounds like, I mean, it could be up for grabs. Lewis, Edelman.
I think Edelman's the guy.
I think Edelman's the guy right now. But it also, I think, depends on how they're using them. I mean, we're talking in a theoretical world where all the top four or five guys stay healthy and blah, blah. You know, they fill different roles. I think it's pretty clear Edelman is a slot guy.
Yeah.
Greg Lewis has shown the ability to play both, and I think Galloway's an outside guy.
Oh, absolutely.
So depending on how the injuries shake down or what you need in specific personnel formations, they all have specific roles.
And what we've seen out of Nunn is mostly outside, deep down the field kind of thing. And even though he is smaller in stature, like Fred said, he's been more of an outside speed guy and making these tremendous catches downfield. So, yeah, the number four spot, if you're going to go with a traditional two outside and two inside type formation, you might have Edelman in that spot if he's the other slot guy.
All right, John, thank you for calling in from Dallas.
Hey, I'm not done yet.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, you are.
You are now, John.
Good, Tucci.
Well done, Tucci.
Show him whose show it is.
Tucci's doing all right so far this first time.
I will, however, keep that in mind because, you know, Bill has done stranger things, and all of a sudden a guy like Terrence Nunn makes the roster.
God, yeah.
And, you know, maybe someone that we really thought was a lock turns out not to be. I'll keep that one in mind, you know, that whole situation with Terrence Nunn and Joey Galloway.
Look at last year with Fernando Bryan.
Remember how Bill talks about the whole, you know, one guy is rising and another guy is already at a level, but you don't think he's going to go any further?
Right.
Clearly, whatever Galloway is at this point is what he is. I mean, he's not going to get any better.
John does.
He can only get worse. He's not going to surprise you with how good he can be.
John does bring up a good point of, you know, when do you start thinking about the future versus right now? And like Paul said, you have to weigh where you think a guy is compared to where you think another guy might be.
But we're talking about Galloway as the three. If we were talking about just the fifth receiver, which guy I'm keeping, am I keeping Galloway as five or none as five, then I'm thinking future.
Right.
But if I'm thinking about the 2009 Patriots offense and what I need to do to win games,
I agree.
You got to think about winning games and putting up yards, and
absolutely,
we know what Galloway is.
Terrence Nunn's not going to help you win games in 2009.
If he does, you're in trouble.
All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what we think we should be looking for in this game coming up. Plus, we got a lot of emails, and Sam from Brighton's on the phone. So hang on, Sam. We'll get right back to you.
The New England Revolution wins Superliga on home turf.
2009 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll need. Get the 2009 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone.
Delivered in the flick, the shot, and the goal! Kelly Dubé gives the Reds the lead in minutes.
The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you can do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
off.
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right, we're back. Tucci just sent me a sketch that someone drew of us at our mics here in the studio, and it's really, really good.
Eric and I are dead on.
Yeah.
Dead nuts.
Yeah. Dead nuts.
Paul looks like he's about 70 in the sketch. He's got white hair.
And Fred
has a cap on.
It's in there. The one side is better. Fred, you look like the Andy guy from.
Can I see it?
Conan O'Brien, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can see that. Andy Richter. I can see that.
That's who you. And there's too much hair there. Paul got saved by the hat. But it's really good.
Can I see it?
Why are my eyes closed?
The attention to detail.
Who drew it?
The Northeastern hat on Paul's head?
Tucci, who drew it?
It had to be someone who
because,
was here.
Because he should send that to pfwinprogress.com.
Sam Ackerman. Sam in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Sam in Chicago.
It's tremendous.
Really good. I would suggest sending that to James Erickson Cuff.
Erickson football pants.
Over at,
can I see it, please?
Hey, Sandy, stop hogging the thing. Christ. Sorry, I thought I could enjoy it before I just passed it on. But why am
I
eyes
know why,
closed?
Why Fred's holding a coffee mug.
And I look Chinese.
He should be holding some funnel cake.
Funnel cake? What are you, in the
30s? Your eyes are closed.
What the hell is funnel cake?
You don't know from funnel cake?
I don't know from funnel cake. What is that? What is that, a Jewish thing?
It's like fried dough.
It is. They're all the same. Whatever Alex Smith called it, they're all the same thing.
The BU pants and helmet for Eric are a nice touch.
The pants are, because he has a dress shirt on and football pants. That's the best part.
Usually he doesn't have pants on.
I think it's terrific.
That's really good, Sam.
Eric's jealous because we asked him to do this
send that
and
to James.
He couldn't.
Because that would be
I'll buy it.
That'd be a great addition. We should, you know what? We should get that a big
a poster
one
of
and
it?
Make it here and put it in.
I wouldn't mind having
see,
that
get the
as
picture
a poster in my house. I'm dead serious.
I would
in your house.
Yeah,
I'd put it.
I put. That
oh, your
up.
Wife would let you put that
yeah,
up.
I know. I put it right around the bar with all the rest
I have,
of the Super Bowl
listen
stuff.
To me. I have, you know, I have.
See,
a couple.
I don't get dominated by my wife the way you do.
Oh, okay. I have a couple.
Much.
I have a couple framed pictures.
Unless I want to be.
One is the big three. I got Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, and Robert Parrish signed. She won't let me put that up.
Well, that's
what?
Ridiculous.
Well, where am I going to put it?
Wherever you want. It's your
house.
You
have
house
that whole area
really
downstairs.
Cool.
You don't have any area that you have like sports stuff that you want to put up?
Super Bowl stuff.
That's ridiculous that you wouldn't have that up.
She won't.
Downstairs?
It's in my office.
Now, if you said I wanted to put it up in the living room, I could understand.
Right.
You know,
but that
your
downstairs
wife's
room has like a basketball hoop
yes.
and a.
I have the area around my bar that has a lot of the Super Bowl memorabilia.
You have a bar?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah, like you didn't know that. A loser.
Such an idiot.
All right. WebRadio@Patriots.com is the email address. Sam, not from Chicago, but from Brighton's on the phone. Sam, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Great,
Sam.
All right. So earlier today, Fred was giving us a fun fact about germs.
Yes.
And that was funny.
That was really awesome.
I was waiting for Dan to play the...
It's just a fun fact.
Yeah. That's what I was waiting for.
It's actually
maybe,
an opinion.
Maybe Doc would have played it, huh?
No,
maybe.
I don't think so.
No.
If he had remembered to show up for the show.
We're down on Doc.
He's overwhelmed. Right. It's his first game day alone, setting up
he's
flyovers.
Got like a,
and actually, it's more than the
20
usual
hour
game
day.
They've got,
yeah.
They got the Hall of Fame induction ceremony going on at 4:30. And by the way, you can watch that ceremony live on Patriots.com starting at 4:15. So,
really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, gee, I got a that's pretty cool from Paul
cool.
about the website.
Check it out.
My day is made.
Well, you finally did something outside the box.
Thank
Good for you.
You.
Instead of worrying.
Oh, my God. Sorry, Sam, what for
are you guys serious?
Unprofessional.
What? Guys?
That was Fred, not
that
guys.
That wasn't me. That was Tucci with a drop in. All right, Sam, what else is up?
Oh, yeah, well, you guys were talking about Joey Galloway earlier.
Yeah,
and
we were.
I've been to a bunch of camps, and I don't know if it's really about timing. I mean, to me, it looks like he just sucks.
Well,
you know? I'm leaning more towards Sam.
Listen, here, this is where I'm going to side with Sam. I'm not going to say he sucks, but my problem with Galloway has not been timing as it is just reaction time on his part, getting his hands up front. Remember getting hit off the chest and having the ball intercepted by mm-hmm. Wheatley?
Yep. That's timing, though?
That's timing.
Reaction time.
He's not ready for the ball to be there.
It's not timing with Brady. It's his own reaction time.
Because he's not in position to make the catch when he should be. That's timing.
He looked in position. He just didn't have his hands
this
out.
This is going to be one of those arguments. No. When does the timing start? When it leaves Brady's hand or when it gets an error?
And let me differentiate.
Listen, I think the example he just used is an example of timing. That's all I'll say.
I agree with you.
No, there's a difference between timing between the receiver and quarterback and someone's own reaction time.
But I think the reaction time is a function of the timing with the quarterback.
It could be, but there are guys that just don't have fast hands, and I don't think he does.
But you're...
When you see him get overthrown, like I saw a couple of times, what do you think that is? That he doesn't have as much speed left as people said, or do you think that's timing, too?
That's timing.
See, I'm also not sold on his speed. I haven't seen scary speed. He's supposed to be scary.
I've seen the speed.
I haven't.
I've definitely seen the speed. I think he still has that. He might be a little bit slower than he was 10 years ago.
Can we do this? Can we all agree on this? Can we eliminate he sucks from the equation based on his career? Can we eliminate that from the equation?
I'm willing to do that.
Well, what do you mean?
Did we eliminate it from John Lynch's equation when he came here and sucked?
Well, he really did.
But he really did.
But he had a good – I mean, it's not based on your career. It's what you are now.
I hear you.
And what he is now is still pretty good.
I think he's been okay. I don't think he has sucked in camp, but
he's better than Jabbar Gaffney.
See, the problem with Lynch –
all right.
Sold he's better – from what I've seen in camp, I'm not sold he's better than Jabbar Gaffney. I think he's looked like Jabbar Gaffney.
The problem with Lynch, and it was just too obvious, was that he lost any speed he had.
Right,
yeah.
And you just can't play without that.
Right.
Galloway still has the speed.
I think so, but not everybody else
does.
Yeah.
Well, I think he has NFL speed, but I don't see scary speed. I don't see
4.27 40
or whatever he supposedly was going to run when he got here.
I see him when he runs go routes, I see great straight line speed. Now, I'm not sure that he can get in and out of breaks and cuts and stuff like Randy does, but I see straight line speed.
Do you see him getting cut at all? I really think there's a possibility.
No, I don't.
Well, I think there's always a possibility.
I think there's a possibility of virtually everybody in the roster getting cut. You know, maybe I'll eliminate 5 to 8 players. You know, the Brady,
Tom
Moss,
Brady,
Welker,
Will Fork,
Mayo.
I mean, there's a very small group that I think is absolutely, positively uncuttable. So, yes, Galloway could get cut. He wouldn't be in that
group
for me.
But I don't expect that to happen.
I would put it in a stunning category, much like last year with
Fernando Bryant. Yeah.
To me, Greg Lewis looks much better.
Well, see, I can't see that. I think
now you're talking about expectations. I mean, you have an image of Joey Galloway as a 17 yards per catch, 1,000-yard receiver. I mean, Greg Lewis, I think your image is fourth receiver who could catch 30, 40 balls.
I think those two have been very, very similar during training camp.
Because
I do, too.
I heard a bunch of stuff.
But they had different expectations in my
Absolutely.
Mind.
Absolutely.
I think Greg Lewis hasn't even lived up to the pigeonhole I had for him because he hasn't fit in that pigeonhole.
You know, I think
his strengths have not been in
if you were
going
to take those two guys head to head in this camp. I think Galloway is light years ahead of Greg Lewis, but I'm going by expectations. I had expectations way up here for Galloway and right in the middle for Lewis. I think neither one of them has even come close to living up to, in my mind, the expectations I had for them.
I think Lewis has been okay. I think Galloway's been okay.
Yeah, I would agree.
And that's not...
But I think the okay that Galloway is a lot better than the okay that Lewis is.
Oh, I think they've been similar.
Before camp, I was hearing that Galloway is going to be better than Stallworth was in 07.
That is true.
I still believe that.
Oh, that would be nice.
Because Stallworth didn't know where he was going, and I think that Galloway will.
the thing with Stallworth, though, was once he got the ball, he did pretty well.
Yeah, oh, his big thing was yak.
Stallworth is a very good player.
Right, and his big thing was the yards after the catch.
Yeah.
Broke tackles.
Galloway's thing,
broke,
I think, is
he broke tackles. I think that
straight line speed.
The
like
reason
you said.
We didn't get to see a lot more of Stallworth, I think, from what some of the guys have sort of talked about, kind of alluded to, is that he wasn't always where he was supposed to be. And maybe Galloway's struggling with that too. Maybe that's part of this. Maybe he's not picking things up. And if that's the case, then he won't be any better than Stallworth.
You know, watch him go out and catch like six passes for 120 yards.
I think there's
tonight.
A good chance of it. I mean, I think he's a guy that wants to and they need to see step up.
Yeah,
so I think they could try to throw the ball to him to get him to have that.
If he were to have three more games or two more games, because I won't count the last one, similar to the opener, then I might change my mind on the whole getting cut thing.
Oh, well, yeah, I think there's a possibility kind of thing, because I still think there's a possibility one of those big three veterans could get cut. I don't think any of them has looked great.
Wouldn't
and
you
Taylor
be,
obviously didn't play.
Wouldn't you have an anvil dropped in your head stunning if it were Fred Taylor?
I
think the fact that he didn't play the other night is a good thing for Fred Taylor, by the way.
I kind of do, too, based on what I've seen in camp, because I think he's had a good bounce.
Based on the way Bill has talked.
Meaning they know what they have from him, they don't need to see it in a game?
Yes. And
yeah, I would say Taylor, Springs, Galloway, I'd be most surprised Taylor, then Springs. Galloway, I'd be least surprised of the three.
I would totally agree with Andy.
All right, Sam. Sam
right,
from Brighton. Thank you
good
for calling
stuff,
in.
Good stuff, Sam. Thanks, man.
Dave, who gave us lunch today, says, big boys and the girl in the tutu. Hope the food was enjoyable and no one got anything on their clothes. Anyhow, you think the starters tonight will get more playing time against the Bengals or will Bill spend more time evaluating the depth at different positions?
I don't think they'll get more time.
I think the latter.
I mean, they would have to play into the third quarter, essentially, to get more
time. I think they might get less time than the other night.
If anything, less.
And don't necessarily go by when they come in and out of the game in terms of the quarter is the amount of plays. Bill talked about that a lot with that punt return, really kind of threw things off the other night because it put two defensive series together.
Mm-hmm. Told you Edelman wasn't a team player. He screwed everything
up. Go by the number of snaps that you see the guys out there. In other words, if they have a bunch of three and outs,
They might play longer
in terms of
time.
Playing time than they did the other night. But I would expect the starters to play less than they did in the first game and more evaluation because this is a big evaluation.
Right, right.
The next game,
it's not a teaching game. It's an evaluation game.
Right, for the young guys. And I think the third game, in general, and I know that Bill has done it different ways.
I'm watching both of you make these faces and puff your cheek out to hold a burp in.
But I don't burp on the air. That's the difference.
And Fred didn't do that either.
That's like those lunch meetings that people have, and everyone eats their lunch, and then they start right after, and the guy gets up and goes, okay, we're going to talk about the four. and it's just like, waits out.
Who's that guy? You?
Any guy.
That's you. You and Bill.
You should never have lunch meetings. Everyone's sitting around burping.
You never know how Bill's going to treat things, though, with that third game. I know that there's been times where it's been very traditional. They play into the third quarter so they can get into the halftime, cool down, come back out and ramp it up again, and then they come out. And then there's been times where they haven't played nearly that long.
But this has been a non-traditional preseason.
Right. He could do anything.
Maybe they won't play at all.
You may see that in the preview.
Are you on board with, it sounds like a consensus, they're going to just run the ball down the throats of the Bengals?
Oh, I don't know why. Why do you get that impression?
Oh, I didn't.
Why do you think the writers seem to be getting that impression?
I don't know.
I read those stories today, too.
But anytime
are they
anyone has...
off of the last time we played the Bengals in 07 when that's what they did was run the ball down their throats? Because that would be weird if they were basing
it on
that.
They established the pass last week. It was about Brady in the passing game. This week is going to be running the ball.
It could be. This is the game where Fred Taylor gets in.
I mean, I know they want to get the guys established, but Maroney had 6 carries for 14 yards. 6 carries in a preseason game? It's a lot of carries if you're starting running back.
I agree.
That's enough to get warm and establish a rhythm.
It's 6 more than like LaDainian Tomlinson usually gets an entire preseason.
If they do what we think they're going to do and continue with
a postseason
committee approach, how many is he getting? Not many more than 10 in a game because Maroney's going to get 6 and Taylor will get his 4 and Falk will have 3 and there'll be 2 sneaks. All of a sudden you've rushed for 25 times
and they're looking for 25. They're looking for 25 or 30 carries.
So if he can't, if he's one of those, needs the ball in the fourth quarter and gets stronger, well, it's not going to work because he's not good enough to be that guy.
Well, he was just looking
to
high
step. More than 14 yards. Well,
from a 50 high step while thinking about the media.
I think that for the most part, the last couple of weeks, they've been, well, not the last couple of weeks, but the last what was it, maybe three or four full practice days. It was over the span of a lot of days. But we've seen a lot of 9-on-7, a lot of run work in the mm-hmm. morning, followed by 7-on-7 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they've been really gearing up the running game, because they've been doing that in the morning and then following that up with a lot of passing, you know, situational red zone, 2-minute stuff in the afternoon. So I don't know that all signs indicate all run tonight.
Okay, let's pick a player. Each person must shine, must do something tonight to take a step forward towards being A, on the team, or B, a contributor.
Tyson Devery.
Fred has spoken.
No. He's got it going tonight.
You really do.
To John Crable.
You need to take 6 months Crable. Off John every Crable. So often and come on back on the show.
Okay. Yeah. I will go with Alex Smith.
Okay.
I'm not sold on him.
Now,
everybody who's writing the Ben Watson obituary, I
don't mean to sound
where are
like
these tight ends coming from.
I don't mean to sound like Fred, but I need a little clarification.
Oh, Christ. You always
roster spot or role with the team?
Either or, okay. Whatever, to strengthen their position.
Derek Burgess.
Then. Okay.
Terrence Wheatley.
Okay.
That's a good
I
one.
Mean, they're all legit.
Paul Perlow, stamp of approval for you, Erica. Good day for you.
Good.
You can call your mom and say, Paul agreed with me.
Sorry, I didn't know it was derogatory to say I agree with you.
I was going to say Terrence Wheatley.
I didn't say I was going to say it. I never even thought of him.
Adam from Holliston says, you mentioned last show that the Pats have been running more 4-3 on defense in camp. Is this because the 4-3 is the most effective against the 2010 Pats offense? Also, how does the defense prepare for other teams' offenses that are different style than ours? Does the second string offense play the roles, or does Brady and company pretend to be McNabb in the Eagles O?
Both. This time of year, you see more ones in the scout team. More into the season, you see more scout, true scout team.
Brady will not spend any time working on the other team's stuff once the regular season starts.
It's yeah. a good hypothetical. This year's defense versus
next year's offense. I don't really know what next year's offense is going to look like.
Also, have any of you played Madden 10 yet? The Pats are the best team on there and are unstoppable sometimes. I find when I play
That's a
online
lack of respect.
And choose the Pats 99.7% of the time, people opt out to play against another team, even if they have a better record.
That's
a
good
story. Aiken, Galloway, and Morris are very good tools in the game, I found. And, Paul, you're not fat. You're just fluffy.
I don't know if
Is
I
that
like
a
that.
Sign of disrespect, Paul? The guy's online playing video games. He picks the Patriots, and everybody else doesn't want to play?
Right.
I mean, I thought
he was
going to
say, like,
me
this? Do you know how old this story is?
No, it was just announced today.
No, it wasn't.
What? Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
When was it announced?
A long time. Andy, how long ago did I tell you about the Northeastern UNH women's hockey team doubleheader at Fenway?
Long time ago.
Thank you.
Sorry, Paul.
As usual, day late, dollar short.
If it's about Northeastern, he finds out about it before
I think he
it
wrote
happens.
The press release too, Jenny.
Yeah. So,
you know, let's get into that for a second.
Northeastern?
Yeah.
Can we not? It's a game day. It's Patriots Football Weekly.
You know,
no Husky in there.
This is an ineptitude to
a
level.
Husky over there.
This is an absolute ineptitude to a level that only my mighty Northeastern Huskies could strive to.
Boring.
You know the Bruins.
Even though he didn't go there,
Fred. You know the Bruins are playing at Fenway, right?
Yep.
Well, as part of that week, it's not going to be the same day. I think it's going to be on January 8th. Okay. BU and BC are going to play a hockey game at Fenway as well, which makes all the sense in the world. Those are the two traditional powers in Boston hockey. Now, they wanted to make it a doubleheader, so they invited Northeastern to do it, too. Northeastern didn't want their men's team to play there. They asked if they could make it their women's team. Mm. That makes a lot of sense, because you get a big bang for your buck out of the five people that will be in the stands to watch Northeastern. By the way, they also will play UNH, who is number one in the country in women's hockey, so they'll lose the game 11-0 in front of five people, which is also good for your school.
Why don't they
that
do
makes
the,
a lot of sense.
Why don't they do the Beanpot there?
They could have played UMass and Northeastern.
I don't know.
Beanpot? Fenway?
Yeah, the Beanpot's in trouble this year for us because we're going to be at the Super Bowl.
Uh-oh. That's true.
I was in trouble for us.
For me.
Paul might have
by us, I meant me.
Paul might have to drive back to Miami to go
people.
To the
Beanpot. Me and 2G.
Will you be back
there.
For the consolation game?
So Paul's going to do the front reporting during the Super Bowl?
I got that. That was good, 2G.
Good, 2G.
I'd like to be able to make fun of him, but I can't argue with that. We're playing BU. BU never plays in the consolation game. BU's been in the consolation game like three times.
We're playing
in 35 years.
Well, for anyone that's from out of this area, the Beanpot is when Harvard, Northeastern, BU, and
everybody
BC
knows, Fred.
Play a little four-game tournament in the middle of the season, and it means nothing but local fans here.
It's pride.
You know,
it's local pride.
They go crazy about
it's
it.
It's a big
pride.
Deal here,
it's
but
a
nowhere
very big
else.
Deal.
Right. It's not really a big deal here.
It's only sold out every year. That's its existence.
And that would be it, too, you know. That's the crowd. Beyond that sold-out crowd, no one cares. Let's see. This is an interesting email.
That's inaccurate.
The SEC bans Twitter and Facebook at games. I wanted to get your reaction, this is from Mike, to a new SEC ban on tweeting and Facebook at games. Here is a quote from an NBC article. According to the new rules in effect by the SEC, you can't update Twitter, post photos on sites like Facebook or Flickr, or take videos and place them on YouTube while attending a live game. The policy is meant to keep eyeballs on the TV networks, says a conference spokesman. ESPN and CBS are paying the SEC $3 billion for the broadcast rights to the conference games over the next 15 years. So no updating Twitter.
By the press.
By the press. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. They can't stop people from.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
What do you I think that's really short-sighted.
I think it's a little ridiculous, too. I mean, how many people are going to stop watching a game? If they have the choice between watching the game and following some idiot who's tweeting from it, you're going to watch the game.
I mean, that's the thing. No one who's interested in the game and who has the opportunity to watch the game is going to choose any of these other things watching the game.
But isn't that what the NFL is doing, too? Well, not all the NFL, but isn't that what
teams are
doing?
Blogging during the game.
Blogging, but you can't tweet.
During the game?
I thought we couldn't.
It's the same difference, isn't it?
I think we can.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do it during practice.
Real Patriots tweets.
Sure.
Yes. The Patriots can do it, I thought. I thought the media couldn't.
No. I think it's all.
I thought there was a member of the media who was sitting near us last week that was complaining that the Patriots can put all the information out and we can't.
No, there was a member of the media sitting next to us that couldn't get on the internet because the freaking Philadelphia Eagles.
This was before the game.
Really?
Yeah.
We could check on it, but I'm pretty sure that during the game. You're allowed to do it.
Yeah, I thought maybe the person that was complaining was misinformed.
Because if we're
I don't care
always complaining.
If we're in the if we're now, let me ask you a question. If we're in the Philly press box, isn't it Philadelphia rules that are
everybody
has to abide by?
Well, no, there's NFL guidelines.
But I mean that PFWA. One guy was giving radio updates the whole game.
Well, everybody does that.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference?
I don't know, but there's rules for everything.
It doesn't seem like there should be a difference. If you're tweeting, blogging, doing a radio hit, it all seems like the same thing. You're giving information
that's
not on the regular broadcast channel.
These leagues have to realize that if you're interested in the game and you can watch it,
you will
watch
it. Exactly.
So
then why do you care that you can't do it?
Huh?
Because you're trying to appeal to a fan base that doesn't have access to that. People like in Australia or Europe or places where they...
There's some people out...
In the United States who don't have it.
Or even in that region that can't be in front of a TV but want to...
Yeah.
It's not like you're giving them an alternative to watching. There is no alternative to watching. Nothing competes with that.
Right.
But some people simply can't be in front of a TV during that time.
Right.
Now you're still connecting them with your network or your radio station or whatever entity it is that you're tweeting from. I think that's fine. I really do.
Yeah. Maybe you're a beat cop and you don't have access to radio or the thing, and you have your phone with you and you can get your updates.
I remember last year my wife had to go to a basketball tournament with my kid, and she relied on Patriots.mobi to keep up with the score. You know.
Yeah. Was that just your shameless way of getting that in there?
No, but it was a good example.
It was a good example of it, though.
Yeah.
This is going to surprise you, Fred, but I don't feel strongly enough to have an opinion. First time ever.
Right, because you're in
you
front of a TV all
anything.
The time.
Well, that's just BS.
BS.
All right.
Freddie, did you see Dartmouth was on the map for
night?
Yeah, Barney Frank. Barney Frank was yelling at somebody.
Yeah, some Nazi.
Yeah.
Did you hear what she said?
Yeah.
She's an idiot.
It was a battle where I couldn't root for either side. Yeah. He's an idiot and she's an idiot.
Iran,
there were two idiots yelling
Iran,
at
Iraq.
Each other. One calling the other a Nazi, the other calling the other a dining room table.
Idiot.
Both morons. Both need to be eradicated from the earth.
Mark from Cheddar says, hey, guys, and Andy and Eric, straight to the point, great show, but this is a fairly lengthy email, but I reckon it'll be worth it, so don't give up halfway.
I already gave up, you idiot.
No, it's not that long, really. Right now,
that's what she said.
Right now, onto the question. I'm like Eric. I don't have time to beat around the bush. A while back,
Eric's never been around the bush.
You got to get around the bush first.
This guy's breaking them all out in one email.
2G's is laughing.
2G's just all happy he's back
in his girl's shirt.
This is a lot better than running around the admin level with a clipboard.
Going in a pen. Pissing off Maura and Michelle.
And a pen over his ear.
A while back, you were talking about Marino and whether or not winning Super Bowls makes you one of the best quarterbacks. Someone emailed in and said that all he had was statistics, and as this is the ultimate team game, individual statistics should mean nothing. Anyway, it got me thinking. Is Drew Brees just like Marino? Here are his stats. 26,000-plus yards, 168 touchdowns, 99 interceptions. Hopefully Fred knows that TD stands for touchdowns and INT for interceptions. That is over an eight-year career, including 1 year when he played only one game. So if you projected that to 17 seasons, his numbers would be 55,000-plus yards, 357 TDs, 210 interceptions. Compared to Marino's career stats, 61,000-plus yards.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
252 interceptions. The numbers are less, but if you projected the next nine seasons for Brees over his last three, there would be more yards, more TDs, and less interceptions than Marino. Now, Marino only got to one Super Bowl and sucked. Brees is not Hall of Fame worthy unless he suddenly wins a Super Bowl or two. Hence, Marino is not Hall of Fame worthy. I know you will blow this out of the water, but I think it is a valid point of why Dan Marino is an overrated quarterback.
Marino sucked.
That was the point of the email?
So he's saying that on
Brees... First of all, those numbers aren't close that he just read. The projections of Drew Brees, he was like 60 less touchdowns, over 6,000 fewer yards. That's not close to me. Plus, Dan Marino was putting up those numbers and going 13-3 and going deep into the playoffs on an annual basis. Drew Brees puts up those numbers and goes 8-8 and doesn't make the playoffs.
True.
That's a big difference.
How good was your team? I think it makes a difference when you're a quarterback.
And you're also making the projections over a short period with Brees. I mean, he had his career high. He threw for 5,000.
5,000
right?
yards last year.
So,
but that's another
those
thing.
Those are swayed.
That's another thing is they.
If he throws for 5,000 the next 5 years in a row, people are going to think differently.
I'll change my mind about Drew Brees, and I'll say, hey, I was wrong. He is that level of quarterback. But rather than saying Marino is not a Hall of Famer, I would say Brees might be.
Hold on.
If he continues that.
Okay, so you're saying if Brees did do what he did last year and continues that over a number of years.
For 15 years like Dan Marino did, yeah, I would change my mind on Drew Brees.
Even if his team doesn't get much better.
Well, he would have to have some good years.
Okay. Right.
Drew Brees has had some good years with his team.
They made the playoffs.
They went to the conference championship game 2 years, 3 years ago.
If we're going to get into this argument, I want to throw a guy out there that Paul and I watched the other night on a great new television program, Shaq Versus. Ben Roethlisberger is 25 years old, and in the world of numbers don't matter, he's got two Super Bowl rings.
Right.
And oh, by the way, led a comeback in the most memorable one
of
late.
It's a great point.
Is Ben Roethlisberger on pace to be the greatest quarterback in NFL history?
Not by the numbers, but he is.
No.
What?
No. I can't possibly say that.
I think he is on pace to become one of the best.
I got to be honest. He stunned me. I asked him if Roethlisberger is going to be the best. He said yes. Okay, next topic.
If he keeps this up.
Fred's smart because Fred is very consistent with
right.
that.
I thought I was going to trip him up a little, but
no,
I didn't.
Because Fred, and I'll give Fred credit for that because you are consistent with that. You think those guys are the best.
They consistently lead their team to greatness? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I think Roethlisberger is much better than he's given credit for, but I don't think he's one
Terry
of the best.
Terry Bradshaw, you think he's that great? I mean, he had pretty good numbers,
no,
right?
I don't think he was that great.
But he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know.
Because he won
four
team.
Super Bowls.
And right. Most people say that. They say the whole story. They don't just say he's the best ever because he won four of them.
I don't think you'd find anybody that says he's one of
My
the best
point
ever.
Was,
Franco Harris,
back
Rocky
in 03, 04,
John Stallworth.
People were writing Brady Montana. That was the story, the comparison, the greatest ever.
Right.
I just don't hear a lot of Roethlisberger ones where he's the greatest ever.
Well,
the
sampling is, a little short now. But if he keeps this up.
The sampling was short for Brady when they were doing it.
It's true.
If he keeps this up,
he started doing it
after he won at least two, if
not
three.
Roethlisberger has two.
And Roethlisberger has two.
Brady was the youngest quarterback to win one until Roethlisberger.
They're very similar. I mean, Brady came in 2000, in 03, 04, so four,
and
5 years
And you can't
years
even
in.
Use it, like everybody goes back, well, they didn't do, Roethlisberger didn't play well, and he was terrible. It was the worst performance for a Super Bowl winning quarterback, the first one. But he did something in the second one that Brady's never done.
Last minute, touchdown.
While losing.
Right.
When Brady had the two game-winning drives.
They were tied.
If he went 3-0, they're still playing.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there. If Roethlisberger had gone 3-0, they lose.
Yep.
And not only that, he had to get in the end zone to win.
And I don't think Roethlisberger's better.
No,
neither do
Brady,
I. But
in this
I'm also
whole discussion
not
of stats don't matter, yes, rings are all that mean anything.
And
he's 25 and he's
and
got.
And that's the point that I'm trying to make. I look at the guy's play. When I look at Dan Marino, that's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm sorry.
And Roethlisberger's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He might be.
Because I like him.
He might be. But I think he's
a
lot better. But I look at Drew Brees right now, and I think Drew Brees is a good, solid quarterback. I don't think he's great. Now, he had a great couple of years statistically. And I think Andy makes a good point, too. Last year, you remember, they were out of it. They were like 6-6 or 7-7. They weren't going to the playoffs. And what did they do? They went, it was almost like a gimmick. They were trying to get him that record. You know, he came like 20 yards away from Marino's
16,
single season,
I think,
record.
Wasn't it? Something ridiculous.
20, sorry. But they were clearly trying to get all that. You know, they were trying to get that individual stuff for Breeze.
Right.
And I don't think that they've done, you know. Like, I mean, I don't think the Patriots did that for Brady. I don't think they specifically were trying to get him that record. I mean, that was the game-winning touchdown pass that he broke the record on. They needed that touchdown, the 50th touchdown.
Yeah, against the Giants.
But, like, Drew had a couple great seasons. I mean, if we project those over a 17-year career,
right.
Drew Bledsoe's now the best quarterback
if
in league
Drew
history.
Bledsoe from 94 to 99
here we go.
Duplicated what he did again the next 6 or 7 years, but he didn't.
Right, right.
What about Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan.
Right.
I don't know his numbers. I'm just going.
No, but rookie of the year. He brought his team to the playoffs.
All right. No? That's a good conversation, and it's one that I think will never, ever be resolved to
it's
everyone's
the beauty
satisfaction.
I think Dan Marino is largely considered to be the most overrated guy, who I think is suddenly the most one of the most underrated guys. Well, I mean, they never had a really, really good team
when
he played.
But the fact is...
Oh,
that was his name.
Unbelievable.
What is this today?
That was Fred.
That actually came out of Andy's ear. Really weird. If when you don't
no
have that ring, it's hard to keep up as the years go by.
Yeah, but I think that's unfortunate.
It is, but that's the way it is. Josh says on Tuesday.
Because Fred says so.
If I say it's news, it's news.
I'm still stunned. Has
Ben
won
your
award for best ever?
Yeah.
Son of a.
He button hooked you.
On Tuesday's show, you guys were saying how fans loved Ellis Hobbs 3 years ago when talking to John in Texas. Well, he replaced Dwayne Starks, for Christ's sake. Of course, people were excited to have young, competitive guy in there working his butt off. Starks looked like he was half dead out there. You can't blame the fans for liking him at first. Also, he played pretty well with a cast on his hand for a long time. The problem was that he was actually worse without the cast than when he was with it. Go figure. It's Josh.
Did you see, I guess, Troy talked about how the defense is going to be better now because Hobbs is gone?
Twice he said it. Twice.
Tom Curran tweeted it. He tweets a lot.
Who said that?
Don't sign up for him. Troy Brown. Oh. Might have heard of him. Played here.
Oh. Oh.
I saw that, actually. I saw that.
He should have said I was a better corner than Ellis Hobbs.
He was.
NFL Network's replaying the Pats-Eagles game. Remember they had the three guys in the booth for that game on the Eagles Network? It was Herm Edwards, Hugh Douglas, and some guy that we'd never heard of.
Right.
The guy that we never heard of was actually a Patriots linebacker for four games in 1975. Kevin Riley. They showed a clip of him running an interception back for a touchdown.
Who'd have thought?
And he played for the Eagles, too.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
They showed a clip of him as a Patriot, and I'm like, well, who's that?
That was really interesting. Not.
Thanks, 2G.
Steven Ames says, hey, Peckerwoods, I'm going to the Denver game, and I heard you guys read an email by Barry from the OC saying where to stay and how you could get there for $65 a night. I would love to know how to get that rate and stay with a bunch of Patriots fans. When I tried to book it, it's 172 nights plus tax. Can you put me in touch with him so I can get a room there also? The best way is go to Patriots.com, to the fan club registry, and go to the OC Patriots fan club in Orange County, and his email will be there.
F-Core.
So,
Barry. There's also a Yahoo way, right?
Yes, I'm a jerk.
But I don't. It's like
everything by Patriots.com, Fred.
Can you
it's
find the fan zone on Patriots?
That's what Barry always does. He goes, you can go to Yahoo Groups, Patriots something, or do the Patriots.com one.
Or if you want to go through the mundane.
David from Houston.
David.
I moved to Texas 5 years ago and have been suffering from Patriots withdrawal badly since.
Then you found us.
This week, while viewing the Pats website, I found your broadcast and was excited to find it. I'll be listening today from
Now I'm let down.
It was good while it lasted.
I'll be listening today from hostile Texan territory in Houston. Can't wait. By the way, in 07, when the greatest football team in NFL history, the New England Patriots, went 16-0, I only got to see four games on TV. The next year, the boss, my wife, agreed to let me get the NFL ticket so I could watch every game. Good investment, I figured. I sit down for the first game of the year with my new NFL ticket, and Brady gets injured and is out for the whole year.
That's going to leave a mark.
And then comes the glare from the wife at the, how much, isn't that like $400 or something ridiculous?
For the ticket?
Yeah,
something like that. Who would have thought, still it was a good investment at the Patriots because they are the greatest
Feels
team
like
in NFL history, still won 11 games with a second string quarterback and many other injured starters. What other NFL team could have done that? That's David from Houston. We have a lot of Texas fans.
Is there going to be a blimp tonight? On my way home, there's a small airport, and the DirecTV.
Yeah, your head's here.
Good.
I was waiting for it.
Can you answer that? Is there going to be a blimp?
I actually thought he was going to say besides Paul.
Yeah, it's doing a flyby.
Is it?
No.
That's all you could get?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to take a while.
It's doing a drive-by?
It has a big screen on
the flyby
side.
Is Dvorkin's going to reach out of the press box and throw a paper airplane over the... It's going to be the flyby.
Ba-dum-bum.
Going to be the flyby.
He's won his awards, Paul.
Who's doing the anthem tonight?
Is there someone on the phone, idiot? Then tell him.
No, I am supposed to see it right here.
Yeah, you're supposed to use that Google thing.
How long has he been? Since 12:30. Wow. John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Since 12:30?
Yeah, I've been working a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Excited you're back?
Well, that's good. It's better than the alternative, right?
Yeah, better than the alternative. Hey, I got two quick questions. I just want to know... who's been the biggest disappointment and biggest surprise at training camp? And what you guys thought about Bill Belichick's and Dennis Leary's theory at Mike and Mike yesterday where Tom Brady would play better because Giselle's pregnant?
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that.
They didn't say that.
No?
It was like Dennis Leary's theory, you mean?
Yeah, Dennis Leary's theory.
Oh, okay.
And Belichick was on the show.
Belichick said he wasn't touching that one.
Paris Lennon would be my biggest disappointment.
Paris Lennon would be mine as well.
I thought he'd be starting, and you know he hasn't done anything.
We've kind of talked about some of this. I mean, I think Edelman has been a pleasant surprise, and I think Galloway has
none
been
would be my
disappointment.
Surprise.
None would be a surprise. We've talked about some of those guys. Let me try to think of someone else that we haven't really touched on.
Myron Pryor,
very big
good
surprise.
One.
Literally,
Lee Bodden. I think
of course
been
the Eagles had him as
the
inside
surprise.
Linebacker on that broadcast.
It's true. He's a big inside linebacker. Yeah.
Any other disappointments?
Disappointing. How about...
Benjamin Watson.
Alex Smith.
I'd have to say my biggest surprise has to be, you know, even though we talked a lot about him when he got... is Edelman. I mean, I had no idea with all the... Even the hype that the Yahoos were saying that he would be as good as he's looked.
I thought he was going to be a fringe roster guy, and now I can't really envision a scenario that he doesn't make 53.
Everything they've asked him to do, he's done well.
Well, the second time. I think that's the most impressive thing, is how much better he's gotten at things that he sucked at initially.
Right.
Because we used the word sucked for Joey Galloway. The first time he returned punts, Julian Edelman, he sucked. He couldn't catch a punt.
Well, not only that, Andy, but the first time we saw him running routes as a receiver,
he
was slipping all over the
place. Fell down. He was the opposite of Wes Welker, making it look ridiculously impressive.
Right.
It was unimpressive.
But, you know,
now he looks impressive.
Belichick talks about that improvement line, and, I mean, it's
still curving upwards.
Nice little player.
He's a nice little player.
I would put Jonathan Wilhite in a pleasant surprise category, too. I think he's going to be a pretty good player. And I wasn't sure he was
Wilhite,
as good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I thought that highly of him.
Yeah, he seems to have the quickness and the swivel hips to be able to keep up with guys.
How about Vollmer?
Well, I don't know. The jury's out. I mean... He hasn't been on the field lately.
He's missed a couple.
We don't know what his injury is, but he has shown that he can play both sides. And
it was just one day, right? Or was it two?
One day.
Was it
two
Monday
practices,
and Tuesday?
I believe.
Two practices, I think.
So it was Monday and Tuesday?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where he's going to fit in yet, but it was nice to see that one day when he was, you know,
the rotation
on the right side with Kazier.
Well,
and
also,
left.
No, yeah.
Well,
he,
and left,
it
but
was
he's
like,
playing left.
No, but it was one rep first line right, one rep left, then. And he was like going in a circle.
Right.
Like with the first unit. It wasn't just some reps. It was a rotation.
It wasn't like today you're going to play right tackle.
Matt Leiter was being removed from the first unit so that he could take a rep at left tackle.
I think that was a good indication for Vollmer that they didn't say, okay, today we're going to use you at right tackle.
Right.
No, they thought enough of him to say, you go to right, then go to left, then come out, and you keep switching. That's harder. Now, mentally, that's more to take care of.
Yeah.
Translation.
Exactly. That on top of it, that's... That should be taken into
consideration. So a lot more positive surprises, John, than negative, for sure, for all of us.
All right, I'm going to go and let me know what you talked about Dennis Leary's theory about Tom Brady playing better because Giselle being pregnant.
Tom Brady's going to play better because
it was a joke.
He is on a mission, period.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right, John.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, John in Palm Bay, working a lot, which is good. Good to see an American working.
Better than the alternative.
Right.
Stop shouting into the mic. What's wrong with you?
Better than the alternative.
Lower your volume.
Good to see an American working. What do you mean?
Well, we need jobs. People are out
of
jobs.
Unemployment is, you know, sky high, Andy, thanks
it's
to
like
Fred's
9 point,
guy.
What, 9.4%?
Don't get me started.
Your guy?
We'll just call Jonathan and have him come down and support us.
What's this?
We're with the class.
Stripper says, What's this I hear about the hotel gives views to the practice field so the Patriots will put up a screen to keep practice private? Is this an architectural blunder?
No, I don't think so.
No.
They knew about
it.
It
is
all
true,
along.
Though, that they are putting,
they are
up
putting a screen up.
A screen up so that.
He says that now.
People
the
are.
The other day we were leaving practice, I go, oh, they're putting those things. Is there a logo on the screen? And you go, what screen?
No, I knew they were. No,
I now it's like, that is true. There was a screen going up.
Did we not all know that they were putting a screen up? But when you said, what's going on with the screen, there was no screen in place. So I said,
but
what
they
screens?
Have the stanchions there to
yeah,
put it on.
But see, but you're on a higher level because I walked by that and I saw that and I didn't even think. I knew they were putting a screen up, but I didn't even give it a second thought. You immediately said, oh, they're putting the screen up.
Right.
And that's then I said,
you're
if, they
a level,
keep, if they don't
you're
keep
a level
this
higher
hydroseed dry, it's not, I mean wet, it's not going to grow. And it hasn't been wet any time I've seen it.
Is that hydroseed? It's all brown.
Don't
though.
Buy hydroseed.
It's definitely hydroseed.
Because when it's wet, it's green.
I hydroseeded my front a few years ago, and it came in. It's, to this
Mine
day,
sucks.
It looks good. Really?
Really?
Sucks.
Really? It's the blend. It's the blend.
I think
that they
the guy
use.
Screwed up, and I get a lot of sun, and he didn't put a sun mix in. He put like a. Because any place that gets shade is lush green and perfect. But unfortunately, there's not much shade around the whole area. Idiot.
Pratt from.
You do have a lot of land. Hard to keep it all shaded.
I don't have enough. Well, yeah, I need, and I got some trees growing, but it's going to be like 15 years.
Pratt from Gaithersburg, Maryland, writes in, hi, PFW Buds. I'm really excited about tonight's home opener for the Pats. Just want to react to your talks about Galloway and how he may pan out for the Pats this season. Do you guys think there is a legitimate chance that he gets cut, or will his veteran resume keep him on the team? Also, would you guys rather have Galloway or maybe take a chance on Marvin Harrison, who is still
no
a free
thanks.
Agent and one of the best wide receivers to play the game?
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks.
Also, who is?
I don't even care about that. He hasn't been effective in 4 years.
Right, he's not the guy he was.
Right,
you'd be if you're worried that Galloway's not the guy he was. You'd be adding.
And
a
he
guy
wasn't
who's
effective
not what he was.
With Peyton Manning as his quarterback. So
yeah, that's
not like
right. For a long time now. He hasn't had a good season for a long time.
And then you add in the.
Also, who was the guy who lent his voice to the disclaimer at the beginning of the show? Is he the same guy who says two gender in a sarcastic manner?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, he is.
That's
two gender.
That's what's his name?
Rob.
Rob Schneider?
No. Schuler.
Schuler.
Schuler. Schneider.
He's our voice guy.
Rob Schneider would be like the, you know, Saturday Night Live guy.
No, he's a
not
professional
a lot of
voice guy. He's got a whole setup in his house. We need something voiced over. Tuesday.
You hear him on the radio.
Yeah.
Like BZ. I think he does like Patriot Plays some stuff.
Yeah, he's a pro.
He has his own radio show too, doesn't he?
Does he? I didn't know that.
I thought he did.
Does he, 2G? All of a sudden, he's not yelling into the mic anymore.
Yeah.
He's just talking.
Sam from Chicago sent us that nice sketch.
Awesome.
Says, I just wanted to say thanks. I started listening at the end of the past season and really enjoy the show. Appreciate your commitment and passion for Patriots football. Well, at least I have a passion for Patriots football and the game
in
general.
Paul and I don't have passion.
It's my
you might
way
not
of,
like where the passion goes.
It's my way of giving back to the great show, blogs, articles you guys do to keep the Patriots fans in the loop. Looking forward to tonight's game. And P.S., tell Doc I'm sorry, but I couldn't find a picture of him. He's back there in the booth, but you just can't see.
Well, we need more information on that. Is that like a real color sketch? Can we get it?
Yeah. And, no, he had it on the screen.
And how did you know?
No, but is it digital or does he have an actual?
No, he's got it digitally. I saw two.
He's asking
oh,
how
he's
he
asking
sketched
how
it,
he made it.
I want to know if there's a real one. Can we buy it or something?
Oh, you mean the original?
Or can you give us one?
If he's a real artist or a fake artist like Eric.
And also, what did you use as
Eric,
your
could you
as
this?
Your model?
I don't do that type of art.
I remember you were supposed to do a T-shirt.
You know,
and
fast and good.
No, I don't.
Because
I don't,
that T-shirt
I don't
involved
that.
Somebody else who's not on the show anymore.
I don't
bad
do.
There's no dogs in that picture.
Yeah, was there a picture you used, and where was that from?
Is it traced?
He must have used a picture to get what the studio looks like off of PFW.
Oh, yeah, and he even has the picture of
the
Gillette
clock.
Stadium on opening night above
at
it.
At 2 p.m. with the show ending. That's 2, right?
You never know. Fred was probably 156.
John in Dallas says, this Brady on a mission thing is a bit overblown. I think I recall him saying that in past years. I'm sure everyone in the NFL is on a mission, otherwise they wouldn't be playing. The difference this year is that Tom, Belichick, and the front office are on the same mission.
Yeah, but the difference is that
that's a difference that they haven't been on the same mission in the past?
No. The difference
wow,
is
what
Patriots,
a wet blanket.
Patriots players don't say things like that.
And I just
the
think the way he
said
it in this preseason,
unique.
The way they've handled everything, I think is interesting. You can poo-poo it.
Hey, look,
I'm sorry. I don't think they're going to win anything.
No,
they're not focused. They're
see,
not driven.
If you don't
this is
think
what happens
that this
to us,
is a
Fred.
Different type of training camp than in the past, and you haven't been paying attention,
and
it's
we
different.
We can't right. win, Fred, because Andy and I, want to make a big deal out of the fact that Brady thinks we're on a mission.
No,
said that we're on a mission, okay? Because we think it's impressive that this team is really, really on all cylinders, and that the goal is right there, and they're talking about it. We think it's a big deal. And we kind of get made fun of. Everybody's on a mission. Well, not everybody has Tom Brady healthy and returning.
Right.
Not everybody has Bill Belichick putting together game plans. And not everybody has Robert Kraft, you know, overseeing the whole operation.
LRC.
And it's
LRCing the operation.
It's not like Bill's players to say things like
that.
And
especially Brady. If Harrison or some like more of a Ellis Hobbs, a guy who kind of popped off and said more things, said, I think Brady is generally pretty measured in what
yes.
he says. And when he says we're – and Fred actually thinks he – didn't mean to.
I think
he thinks he kind of slipped
up. I saw a little bit of a hesitation after he said it. Like,
see, no, I didn't. I just read it. I didn't see him say you guys were on that press conference. But you know, for Eric, Andy, and I, that I thought that was somewhat eye opening for them to come out and say that for them. Tom, and I don't think they necessarily
them,
say
Bill,
things.
Tom.
Well, I don't.
Well, are you my grandmother.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting old. I don't think they say things just per chance. Please.
All right.
How
Thanks
you
for
take
not
him seriously
the
with
mic.
That with that women's right.
oh,
jersey on?
Is that a women's small?
We need to take the 1:23 break. We'll be right back.
The New England Revolution wins Superliga on home turf.
2009 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll need. Get the 2009 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone.
Delivered in the flick, the shot, and the goal! Kelly Dubé gives the Reds the lead in minutes.
The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
Wouldn't it be funny if you bought him like a full-size...
We can't say that.
I can't. That's not good.
I love when he looks at Dan. Like, Dan's going to actually say, no, Fred, you can't say...
You don't have the rules in there?
12-year-old clown behind the glass.
Can I get a list of words? I thought that was okay.
You thought that was okay,
yeah,
did you?
I did.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say... on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
No, we don't.
No.
You got to give Dan credit, though. I haven't heard that one in a long time. Doc doesn't play that one.
That's because it included Dan in the bit. He was only playing ones that included him in it.
Well, that's stupid. Those are
funny. That's because all the bits here are ones I produced.
Ooh,
wow. Shot across the bow.
Right now, Dvorkin's at his laptop going, garf, garf, garf.
That's a lot of references to that past altercation today. Oh.
Let's see. On the phone right now is Mike and Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. I have four quick points.
Wait a minute, Mike.
Long time no see.
Have you come down from training camp withdrawal? I mean, you know, you were at every practice this summer. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I mean, the game's tonight, so you know, I'm all ready for that. You know, we'll head out for that soon. But
now, will you be viewing from the box?
Yes,
Mike, how do you get time off to see all these practices?
I'm not working right now.
Oh, he was a student. Oh, he was a student.
Yeah, man. I was
a student, but I graduated and no one's hiring us now. So.
Oh, okay. You just graduated in May or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Fred, why don't you hire him?
I actually handed his resume off to some people in our finance department.
He's not in our line of work, but he's got a financial future.
He's
ahead
a smart
of him.
Guy.
He's smart.
Wicked
well, I
smart.
Think you guys do a good job at what you guys do. And,
oh, thanks.
Notice nowhere in there did it say we were smart.
Thanks,
you
Mr.
guys do
Mr.
a good job in what you do.
It's better to come from Jonathan Kraft than it is to come from me.
Jonathan,
that's true.
Jonathan
yeah,
called
he did
us
say
smart.
That the other day.
Yeah. So I want to give quick points. The first is that Julian Edelman in camp did practice out of the Wildcat package, and to me that's more so, I think, for the defense benefit than for the actual offense. I mean, you might see that once in our offensive package, but you don't really need it with Tom Brady.
I don't think so, and you can report that. We couldn't, but thank you for doing it.
thank you for your service.
Well done, Mike.
In terms of the 53-man roster, I also want to point out that Bill likes to put people on injured reserve before the waiver period, so I would look out for that.
And Foxborough then flu?
Yeah. yeah. Hangnail. Oh, injured reserve. And then the new touchdown song, I found out what it is, even though Doc wouldn't tell me. But I'm also kind of upset that Boys Like Girls is playing the national anthem at the home opener.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly.
I thought all boys like girls.
No.
Well, that's the name of the group that's singing the national anthem on Monday Night Football.
Are they not famous enough for you?
They are not famous enough for me.
Okay.
Who are they famous?
They're a Boston band that made it big.
Have they made it big?
Big in quotes.
Are they like the Jonas Brothers?
Oh, say, what do they sing? Can you?
They've had a couple hit songs on Sirius. The song that I'm thinking, I can't think
on
of it right
Sirius?
Now.
By the way, we mentioned Doc's name.
Yeah,
he
was here within 30 seconds. How do you have a hit seconds? Song on Sirius? To be
well,
a
it's
song,
on
it
regular
on
radio,
top
but
40.
I listen to more Sirius than I listen to
It doesn't break into the top 10. It's not a hit.
I'm not exactly the demographic. I don't.
What channel? Yes, you are.
I'm not.
You listen to that crap all the time.
No, but I don't know all the new songs.
Song's called The Great Escape.
Song,
can you sing a little bit? I don't really. I'm not familiar
no.
with titles.
See if you can find a.
Can you find
clip.
It? We need to
see
hear
if you
it.
Can find a clip for us because I never heard of Boys Like Girls.
All right, I think I've heard.
They can't
them.
Be that big.
That.
If that's, I mean, no one.
It might.
No one
it
in the
might
room
have,
has ever heard.
It might have
of them.
Cracked into well, the
I've
top 40
them,
now,
but I don't know what. Have any idea what they sing?
And then finally, I guess you guys are switching to American for flights now.
I didn't know that.
No. That is. That was.
Why do you have all this?
Why does he?
Yeah. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
All right. Enough. My ears are hurting.
I've actually never heard it.
It's
never
like
heard
every
song
other song on the Disney Channel. Okay.
Yeah. It's like a Disney kind
anyway,
of song.
Mike.
Oh, is that what it is?
Here's the deal with the American Airlines thing. We did do a deal with American Airlines, but it's more of an advertising deal. But they are going to fly in a lot of the all-time team for the home opener on September 14th. But other than that, they're not flying the team back and forth to games.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard that the spouses are actually like Delta better.
The who?
The spouses?
The spouses. They like being able to check where their if their husbands
oh,
are getting home on time.
Oh, they have an app?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
He has way too much information.
Why?
Mike knows things that I don't know. It's scary.
Yeah.
All right.
In the,
well,
that's
not
that
Mayo's first name.
Yeah.
It's in the media, the weekly release. It's everything that the Patriots put out.
I know, Mike. I'm just giving Doc and 2G hard time.
What in the hell is going on?
Okay. Have a good week, you guys.
Okay,
see
you,
Mike.
Right. Mike.
Have a good time tonight, Mike.
Basically,
so Mike
has the run of this place.
Did he get all 4 points in?
Oh, he did.
Oh, yeah.
He did? I think he actually may have had a fifth.
Oh.
Overtime.
I didn't quite understand that whole. They can check on.
Right. Oh,
what is all this activity going
yeah,
on in the booth now?
Everything
yeah,
is
these people
for a player's spouse, isn't that
Doc? I thought
well
you were
known?
Busy. What are you doing?
Why are we having side conversations?
I am, but some of the stuff I need to be able to do what I need to do.
Paul's
for the
talking.
Person,
why
I need
can't
to do
we
it
listen
for down
Paul?
Here?
Is that Mario? Who's in the back there? Mario's in the back. Our sound engineer on game day.
You're going to give him the Mario test? Did you see the Bronx Tale?
No.
Never mind.
All right. Let's get to Dave's email. He says, what do you make of Rex Ryan's comments about Belichick and the Pats? Last week, this blowhard had more to say to the New York media. He made a point of saying, I'm not intimidated by Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Seems to me if someone goes out of their way to say, I'm not intimidated, kind of means they are intimidated by them. If a little kid in a schoolyard keeps telling a bigger kid, I'm not afraid of you, he means the opposite. I think he'd be better off keeping his mouth shut.
Rex Ryan.
Well, I agree with that part,
Rex
but I don't
Ryan
agree with the
in,
other part.
is in Brett Favre territory with me. He's becoming irrelevant.
You don't want to get in Eric's doghouse.
See, he made me laugh out loud when he said, "We're the same guy. We have the same job. We're head coaches." Yeah. Just because he has a handful of Super Bowl rings and I haven't won a game yet.
He goes, "I haven't won a game. I don't have a win. I don't have a win."
He made me laugh there. I like it.
And he made everybody else laugh too with that. That got
if he wins games,
guffaws.
The Jets will love him, obviously. But
well, that's going to be the bottom line. If he can't coach, he can't coach. It's right. Not going to have anything to do with these stupid things that he says.
Right,
I
they'll be putting
this,
him on their all personality team because he made cocky chic,
comments,
like
right.
We made drab chic yeah. with Bill Belichick.
Did you hear like how he said he like said Belichick? I yeah. That's the only thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong. Like he's like you know
instead of Bill or
right. yeah or coach or something right. you know a Bill Belichick.
No respect.
Yeah. I the way he said it to me, I didn't think there was any respect.
Did
there
he say
at
Bill
all.
Belichick head coach of the New England Patriots?
No, he didn't have it in brackets either.
A football team from Foxborough, Massachusetts.
But in terms of the other stuff, you know, it all comes down to this: the Patriots aren't going to draw any added incentive from this. The Patriots are going to win more games than not against everybody because they have Bill Belichick. And Tom Brady, and if
that's
you,
actually what he said.
If you need further proof of that, I know he did. That's why I said I really can't argue.
He said
with
any
he said.
Team that is going to need that or something to beat us, we're going to beat anyway
you know
or whatever.
What? That's been a big thing around here. Like, why?
It's going to come down to who's better.
Why do these teams say these stupid things? Right? Wait. They say it all the time, Rodney right. Harrison and right. all that stuff. Right. But you know what happened last year? Joey Porter said some stupid things, and you know what? The Dolphins won. Why? Because Matt Castle was quarterbacking, and not Tom Brady.
All right, but here's
and
what the Patriots
the
should do. When the Jets come to town and after we've got like a 40-7 lead, 2G and Doc, what you should do is put all the Patriots Super Bowl rings up on the big board. Just kind of have them up on the board.
Yeah, Bill will love that.
You know,
we'll really get them then, Fred.
I think people
you
should,
me?
You know, it's all fair and fun in love and war, whatever they call it. You know, so or turnabouts, fair play. If you're going to say stuff, you should, you know, be made
and I don't
to pay
think
for
Rex
it.
Ryan
is a crowd.
It's so ridiculous.
It's all in fun.
And I don't think Rex Ryan would
fun.
Have a problem with it.
Yeah. Beer before liquor, never been sicker. You know,
yeah, it's all in fun.
So you think Rex Ryan's boat is called No Rings?
No wins.
No wins.
He doesn't have a boat yet.
Good thing, because I don't think that thing could stay afloat.
Belichick. Ooh.
Imagine all the Ryan brothers in one boat.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
It's a lot of belly,
that'd
a lot of
the Titanic.
Yeah.
Where is
Three Men in a Tub of Goo?
Buddy's not well, I guess.
No,
Tub of Goo. Rob,
is Gabagoo? He in Cleveland?
Did he go to
Cleveland?
Cleveland. Wow, Tucci pipeline.
Yeah, he's been studying for the last 6 months.
Tom, you know his internet? Man genius.
I should go. Hey, hello.
Mike from Pensacola. Hey, men of PFW and Eric, what do you all think
Screw
are
you,
the
Mike.
Chances that we see Jonathan Wilhite as the starting cornerback opposite Lee Bodden on Week One?
Good. I told you that in December.
I've been very impressed with what I saw of him in the latter part of last year and also in last week's preseason game.
He's been my starting corner.
Wait. Can you stop for a second?
He was a
you said Jonathan Wilhite was going to start opposite Lee Bodden at cornerback last December?
Yep.
I got to stop paying more attention to you.
You knew that Lee Bodden was going to be here.
Yep.
Wow, that's really good.
I targeted him.
Also, is there any chance that at all that Joey Galloway is not the third wide receiver on the depth chart when the season starts? I know I may be jumping the gun here a little, but I haven't seen much from him, and I think Lewis could be a serviceable, although not ideal, third, and Terrence Nunn could be the fourth. Finally, a question for Eric. I wanted to know why man-to-man is his favorite defense.
You're lucky you live in Pensacola, you little bitch.
So do you like?
Wow.
So do you like it when Billy Packer says we're gonna go Miniman?
Nah, that's Bill Raftery.
That's Billy Packer.
Billy.
Damn.
Bill Raftery.
And when he can take you center and just blow him.
I'm just kidding with you, Mike. Don't get your panties in a bunch down
he
there.
He knows, and he's just kidding with you, but you don't know it.
Wow.
You little bitch.
You get so mad.
You do.
All
right. Owen in Belfast says, does Sean Crable look? Did he play as an outside linebacker at Michigan or a defensive end, and how fast is he?
He times fast.
But he's still he's
football
learning.
Fast. He's I haven't
it's
seen
it's been
him.
Kind of a wasted camp for him because we
again.
You know he hasn't been out there and that's
2 years in a row.
That's tough.
I believe he played both at Michigan, correct? They played some linebacker,
more
a defensive end.
Which they're
some
doing
linebacker.
By the way, in doing some research on the Redskins for the next preseason game. Brian Arakpo is doing a lot of that too. He's playing linebacker on early downs and defensive end on passing downs.
As he should.
Oh yeah,
I like
the guy you fell
he's
in love
been
with
impressive
the
by the way.
We're never going to know about your boy.
Which one?
Our argument on Aaron Maben. He's not going to sign. Well, his career ended.
Definitely his first year is a complete waste.
But
complete,
see, I just say we're never going to really know.
You probably
suck. I mean, if he's great, he's great.
That'll certainly be my defense if it doesn't work out.
It's a very complex proposal.
But we can, I mean, his out is, he. Everything
he's
was stunted.
And, right.
Tavares Jackson. A little different. But
Owen also has a true or false. True or false, Patrick Chung will be starting safety by week 10.
False.
False. Not unless barring an injury. No, false.
Okay.
I think Merriweather will hold on to it.
Brandon Merriweather will have over 80 tackles.
False.
False.
No, yeah. 700 runners would have to come at him to get 80 tackles.
And if he does, we're in big trouble.
I agree with you, Fred.
It's like the Ben Watson catches. Throw to him 400 times, you get 40.
Yeah, if Merriweather has 80 tackles, the Patriots are losing football.
And the defense is on the field too much.
Can we talk about Watson for a minute?
You wanted me to finish the game. True or false?
Yeah, I'll let you.
Why don't
I
you
like
hold
these.
That thought?
Okay.
Gerard Mayo will have two sacks.
True.
True.
Yeah.
That's
a Patriots defensive.
Mayo.
He might have more. But
right.
One's on his hip.
A Patriots defensive back will have 5+ interceptions.
True.
True.
Junior Seau will be on the Patriots roster at some point.
True.
False.
Andy says true.
I say true.
Okay.
I think they're starting
the year
with a lack
of depth. Have you been
paying
attention to him? Andy's thought that all along.
Brady will pass for over 40 touchdowns.
False.
False.
I got to be consistent.
But Jarvis Green-Ellis will rush for 100 yards in a game.
False.
False.
True.
All right. Eric says true.
Good.
Matthew Slater will be cut before week one.
True.
Wow.
Wes
Welker will lead the NFL in receptions.
Who's that?
False.
Wes Welker?
False. No way.
Not this year.
False.
And finally, the Pats will be the number one seed in the AFC if they reach the playoffs.
What?
I think it's true.
True.
They will be the number one seed.
One or none.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going
to
be the number
now,
one.
Well, they won't be the number one seed if they don't make the playoffs.
That's true.
Right. Now, what do you have to say about Ben Watson?
Pass that Coke.
I was listening to a little EEI coming in. And they're, like everybody else, down on Watson. Have we seen the end of Watson? He's not practicing, blah, blah, blah. But take away his first-round draft status. The way I look at him now is, it's not is he our best tight end. Is he a first-round pick? The question is he good enough to make your roster? Is he your third or fourth tight end, whatever you're planning on keeping? And my answer to that is yes. Regardless of the injuries, I don't even care about the factor in he can't stay healthy.
But isn't that a big part of it?
I think he's been healthy enough to be your third or fourth tight end.
Well, it all depends on what they want to do.
I think you have to throw out the potential and the expectations and all that crap. The question is,
I agree with you totally.
Is he better
than
Tyson DeVry and Alex Smith or whoever's battling? And I say yes.
See, I don't. What has he done that shows you that he's better than
anybody? I haven't seen Alex Smith really block yet, and I think Ben Watson is a good blocker. And as my third or fourth tight end, blocking is going to be key. I'm basing it
as much
on that because he takes the field when I go three and four tight ends.
I don't know how many they're going to keep, okay? I agree with everything you said at the beginning. You take away what you thought he should have been or could have been or whatever.
It's irrelevant.
That's all irrelevant. I look at he's going into the last year of his contract, so they're probably going to lose him for nothing next year. He hasn't been able to stay on the field, much to the chagrin of the coach, who we know has made
fans.
Some critical comments of him.
Right.
From other people that have told us things along those lines. They did give up something just now to get Alex Smith, albeit it was, a fifth-round pick or something like that. I'm not sure that they're the same. Now, if Belichick wants to put a lot of different offensive packages together with multiple tight ends, I'm not sure that he's any better than Alex Smith. He's not on the field enough to be better than anybody to me.
See, Alex Smith has shown me absolutely nothing.
I would agree with that. But he's been on the field every day.
Well, yeah, but so's Tyson DeVry. I put Alex Smith and Tyson DeVry, to me, actually, Tyson DeVry has shown me he can catch the football.
He's made a lot of nice catches
in camp.
Right now, I would keep both of those guys over Benjamin Watson.
Really?
That's how down on Ben Watson
I have seen nothing from Alex Smith.
But what have you seen from Watson? He's practiced twice.
Oh, you're just saying this camp?
I have a
knowledge of what Ben Watson can do on
the
football field.
But he can't do it because he can't be on the field. And this is a pattern of 5+ years now.
But, I mean,
he misses games every year.
He's
always banged up. He's always on the injury list. If he plays, he doesn't really play that
much.
Tom
Brady's always on the injury list. You want to get rid of him?
But he doesn't miss any games, and he's productive every game he plays.
He hasn't missed any games. He hasn't played in a year.
For God's sake.
Here we go. Yeah. This is what he does. You know,
I totally agree with your larger point, Andy. About
he's never missed more than four games since the whole first year.
That's 15, a little
13,
that's
12, and
that's
14.
A quarter of the season.
That's a lot of missed games.
But he's only
in addition
four
to
once.
An entire season.
He missed two last year, four the year before, three the year before, one the year before,
and 15 the first year.
Right, but
so that's 5 years that he didn't play 16
games. That's a torn ACL. That's totally different. That's totally different than a banged up shoulder.
You just told me the quarterback hasn't played in a year.
And you laughed at me like you should have.
No, that was too generous.
But when he has played, we know what he can do. And what he can do is he has questionable hands. And when he has the ball, he fumbles it.
And as a third or fourth tight end, find me a great third or fourth tight end in the league. I'm looking for a guy that can block and maybe once in a while.
But as a third or fourth tight end,
is
it worth
it
to keep him over a guy that you gave up something for?
So basically Andy's saying, are we too hard on Ben Watson?
But what's the difference? You gave up a first round pick on Ben Watson. You gave up a fifth round pick on. It's the same thing. I throw that out the window and just say, who's better in that slot? Who brings more skills to the table?
But if you think I think now is the opportunity to try to get rid of him to get something for him
who's
as opposed
trade
to next
for
year.
Chances are you're going to be right.
Perception is probably what Paul is saying.
I think chances are you're going to be right. Because I think that it's probably more likely that he stays. I'm always surprised when a guy like that gets cut.
Don't you think he's an impressive third tight end?
I don't think he's impressive at anything. I think his skills are so ridiculously overblown. People always say he has all the skills to do it. And I always fall back at, you know what? He doesn't. Because he can't catch the ball, and that's a skill.
Right.
To me, that's a skill that he doesn't have. Yes,
he
looks good dropping. He looks good dropping the ball. Because he's 6'5", 6'6", 250, and chiseled, you know, unlike very many other guys out there. Eric, you must have a hard time even doing interviews with him.
Wow.
That's a hard
unnecessary. It really hurts
but
more when it
really,
comes from you.
It's a skill to be able to catch the ball. Like, people say he just can't put it all together.
Hurts more from Paul than Ben Watson.
I don't think he can't put it all together. I don't think he has an innate skill that you need to play that spot.
So I clearly think he's a better blocker than you think he is.
I think he's a run-of-the-mill blocker.
I think he's
a very
good blocker.
Daniel Graham, to me, was a special blocker. He's not.
Who's his agent? Ben?
I don't know about special. I think as a guy in motion, I think he's a very good blocker, actually. I think inline blocking as a true tight end, he's okay. But as my third or fourth tight end, I think he'd be one of the best third or fourth tight ends in the National Football League.
And how much?
Yeah. How much what?
How much
for that guy are you paying?
I don't know. $1 million?
More than $1 million, right?
I have no idea. Some of it's the dead money you already paid. You already gave him his first-round bonus.
No, you made that mistake.
You smoked that pipe.
I'm not talking about his cap hit. I'm talking about his salary that you would save if you cut him.
Compared to Alex Smith? You acquired his contract. I mean, he's a veteran. He's got to be making $600,000-$700,000. So you're going to save a couple hundred grand?
For a fourth or fifth, a third or fourth tight end?
It's probably not that much.
I'd take the guy who's better.
Yeah, whoever's better.
If I save if I can save $1 million, sure, he's gone.
I am always surprised when a guy like that gets cut. So I think more likely you're going to end up being right. Because I would be surprised, even though I've been saying there's a chance that he could get cut, I'm still going to be surprised if he actually does
get
cut.
Now, the wrinkle in the ointment is if you can
wrinkle
trade
in the ointment?
I've been going with that lately. I like it.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense
at
all.
It's no different
it's
than Paul beating the bush to find a diamond in the whatever.
Exactly, and you've been making fun of me for that
for
2 years.
I know, but you've got to be unique. Have your own sayings. There are all these cliches out there. They cliche.
I do have one. Maybe I just drink to get
drunk. The trade. If I can get something for him, maybe that's different.
Cliches are cliche? Is that what you said?
It becomes too cliche to be cliche.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway, John,
am I the only one who has Dave Thomas locked in now after I've watched him block twice?
and by the way, you've had him off the roster for
a
long time.
Until I saw he could block. Who knew? I thought he was a soft-handed pass catcher
for a while.
But somehow,
admittedly said he couldn't.
Somehow Watson solidified a spot for himself without having been on the field all summer.
Well, because I know what he can do. I've seen him in basically three full seasons block, be a good NFL blocker. Mm. And I think
you do think more of him as a blocker than I do.
All right, well,
Fred clearly doesn't have an opinion.
I might move on.
Much football talk for him.
John in Dallas wants to defend himself. He says about the on a mission thing. I was not making fun of your backing of on a mission when I said
was making fun of Fred, who tells me and Andy that we're negative.
When I said Brady, Belichick, and the front office were on the same mission, I meant that with Belichick, the number in physicality of practice not seen in years past, front office drafting very well, free agents, etc., stocking talent more than ever, and Brady back to injury with something to prove. He meant all these three things were coming together at the same time.
I have another side topic, the drafting. Pulse story. Don't you think this year's draft starting to have the feel of that, like, 2002-03 when you got contributors in the fourth,
like
fifth,
six
and sixth
guys.
Rounds? Copens and Jarvis Greens, David Givens, that two-year span
you
where they
Edelman,
get contributors.
Edelman, Pryor.
Even all the second-round picks look like they're going to contribute if not start.
All the second-round picks probably except for Vol.
You know,
three out of those
it's
four.
The opposite of draft Brandon Merriweather and say bye-bye to everybody else.
Yes, well, I do know why, Fred. Thank you for pointing that out.
In 02, Pioli hadn't risen
to his
level, and this year he didn't have much of a role.
Well, to be fair, he just handed a $60 million contract to a guy who's going to be a backup,
Andy,
apparently.
Andy, there's your hat.
I like those hats. Do they have those for Patriots, Fred?
No, it's the head of a bald eagle. I think that's why they have
it. Fred, is that why you make fun of us? Because we don't do stuff like this?
Oh, God.
That's Spadaro, you know. That's Spudsy.
No, I know. Our counterpart for Philadelphia, just to let the listeners know,
Fred
this guy named Dave Spadaro.
He's a nut.
He's doing sideline reports for their preseason telecast. He's got an Eagles visor on with like feathers at the top.
But the thing about it,
he looks like a clown.
To his credit,
it's a tough.
I look up
hair.
On the TV and he's doing a sideline report. And then I turn around and he's back in the press box,
blogging.
He was all over.
Fred
the
couldn't
place.
Do either.
He wasn't in the press box.
Yes,
he was on the sideline the whole game.
He came back up.
I didn't see him either place. But might it be possible that the sideline reports aren't live?
No,
that
they were.
Could be.
They were because I saw him on the sideline. While he was doing
and
the
I saw him in the press box.
I'm not sure
you
saw him
you
in the press
saw
box.
Myron Pryor's
then they have two bald guys that look exactly alike.
They do. I think that guy was a scout that you're talking
really?
About. Yeah.
Sitting with the PR department?
I think that was
really
somebody else.
I would be stunned if he was running up and down.
As
I don't
a matter
think that
of
was
fact,
him.
I was over there and he introduced myself. He said,
Was that before the game or during the game?
It was just before the game.
What do you want to watch Sadat over there?
No, but then I looked over. He was
like walking around.
I mean, Eric, let me tell you something. He's up and down those stairs.
There's no way.
Maybe that's why
there's no way he was doing sideline reports, then going back to the press box.
I find that hard to believe.
All right. I mean, he may have done that once. He may have done a sideline report, then gone to the press box, but he didn't keep going up and down.
I'm giving him credit. He's all over the place.
You saw how difficult it was to get up to that press box from the field level.
Yeah.
He doesn't have trouble finding toilet paper in the bathrooms.
That's good, Tucci.
Ba-dum-bum.
Tucci's been listening to the show in the last year.
I just
saw Myron Pryor's sack.
Matt in San Diego
says...
This
is a big one.
Matt in San Diego says, love the show. Give Andy a raise.
Yes!
Just wondering,
best emailer ever.
Just wondering if you think the Pats' defense, pass defense, will be greatly improved.
Yes.
I personally think it will be in the top eight.
I think it
in the NFL, not just
end.
Because of the DBs are better, but in large part because I think the pass rush will be better because of the schedule. I have no faith in the AFC East passing attack, and I think the number of young quarterbacks, shaky wide receivers of Tennessee, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville will make our secondary look better than it actually is.
Well, you're facing a lot more tough teams than you did last year, so the schedule thing is wiped.
Seneca Wallace isn't on
what
that
I saw in week one doesn't give me cause for that kind of optimism.
Yeah. As we've seen in the Patriots' past, the quality of the quarterback doesn't necessarily mean
A.J. Feely.
Right?
Hello.
They've made some
in fact,
bad...
a lot of subpar quarterbacks have... Throwing the ball up and down the field.
Kyle Bowler.
What I'm saying.
I don't care where they finished statistically in terms of
They weren't that bad last year.
Statistically, they were 11, I think, last year. It was one of the worst pass defenses I've ever seen.
And statistically, they have the 31st in red zone, 29th in touchdown passes.
Third down,
26.
Completions were not very
everything
good.
Everything sucked.
They had three major categories. They were 26, 30, and 31 in.
Yeah.
But I do think we've said this. I think they're going to stink early. I'm concerned
you
about them being on the same page.
You think they're
going
to take a little time
early.
To gel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
a lot of new moving parts.
You got an opening game against Terrell Owens and a no-huddle offense. Where
Lee Bodden, he's going to shut him right down.
That's Sean Springs who's supposed to do that.
It's my quarterback.
I'm like, they could get embarrassed for like a little bit there. All these new guys and just go no huddle and they're trying to run personnel on. I think that, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I think that could be a little ugly early. Trying to go no huddle.
I think that they will have an adjustment period.
Now, it could be 7-0 Tom Brady and, things start to fall apart.
And I also think that it might work to their, not their advantage, but if the offense is doing what we think it's going to do, they could probably outscore, especially early in the season, they're going to outscore teams.
A minute 20 into the game, it's 14-0?
Right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden when you
like
get
2 years ago.
When you get a situation where maybe the offense, the defense will start catching up a little bit, the weather turns, makes it a little bit harder to play, the defense should be better. And maybe instead of having to win 38-28, you start winning 28-17 instead.
Yeah, late in the year I think they could be really good.
A lot of talent. I agree with Andy on that.
President Andrew Jackson writes in, wants to know when we're gonna go back to being 3 days a week.
After when the regular the season game. Starts.
The week before the first regular season
week
game.
After the
and
first.
Not no, the week no, after
before.
Because Patriots Monday will be on Tuesday.
No, the week before.
Just so you know, we've never done that. If you want to change it, that's fine.
Right.
But we've never done
that. No, we are going to do that.
Okay. It's different.
Yeah. The week before.
And the week after, we'll be back to two because we'll be Wednesday, Thursday. Patriots Monday will be on Tuesday that week, right? Because it's a Monday night opener.
It's a Monday night game, right? Let's see. Hey, guys, and two gender.
That's
this
accurate.
Is from John in South Carolina. Do you think if Walter is superior to O'Connell, and if so, why?
I know he
did not have much time to work with the offense before the first game.
I think we're going to see a lot of Kevin O'Connell tonight.
That part of some people have been
not
writing
feeling
that,
great about it.
I think that you're going to see that tonight, and I don't think I've seen a lot of people have written that the fact that Walter played after Brady the other day was an indication that. He has passed O'Connell on the depth chart or whatever. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think that was the plan, was to have Walter come in and do that. It wasn't because O'Connell hasn't been playing well, and I don't think O'Connell has played well in training camp. We're all in agreement on that. O'Connell, I think, is the backup right now.
Yeah, it was till he loses. It was to get Walter.
I think he could lose it.
He could lose it. Early. He could play poorly tonight and lose it.
Absolutely. Just like I think Walter could have lost his job last week in Philly. I think if he had totally sucked, I think there was a chance he was no longer a New England.
But he did. I think he did enough things. He did enough things to stay.
A middling performance.
They had to force feed in the offense, so he got a chance to start earlier than he would have.
But I agree with Andy. I think halfway through the second quarter tonight, I think you might see Kevin O'Connell and probably get a good quarter and a half of O'Connell, and then Hoyer might finish up tonight rather than Walter. I think Walter would be the guy who doesn't play at all tonight.
According to Peter, he doesn't say where he gets his info from, but he says that Alex Smith has a larger cap hit than Watson.
That's not my question. What's the salary?
Well, it would be his salary. Because Alex.
But what is Watson's salary?
In other words, what do you say?
But it doesn't matter. If his cap hit is bigger than Watson's cap hit, because it's just salary for Smith, it means his salary is higher. Because Watson's cap hit is his signing bonus plus salary.
Okay. What's Watson's salary is what I want to know.
I have no idea. But it's less than Alex Smith's.
I don't think they're going to make that move, and I said this when we argued this.
But
it's
you
not
said
going
it might
be a financial
be money.
Move.
He's telling you that Alex Smith makes more money. I mean, less money. What did
this
he say?
Year?
More money.
His cap hit.
His cap number
hit.
Is just
I
his salary.
I understand that. What I'm trying to find out is what Benjamin Watson's salary is, not his cap hit. That's all I care. I don't care about Alex Smith's money. I just wanted to know what Watson's salary
was. I thought you were comparing the tight ends.
No, you think that Alex Smith can't play. I don't think there's any difference between the two players. And one's been on the field, the other one hasn't. That's the only reason why I think Watson should stay. I don't
Brewski
think it's
then, too. Going to start cutting people that don't practice now.
I think if Brewski didn't have his stature,
you play
he'd
how
be
you
cut.
Practice.
I don't.
I think Brewski would not be on this team if he didn't have the stature that he has.
People are really putting all their eggs in this 4-3 because they're not going to have enough inside linebackers to go 3-4 if they're cutting who everybody thinks they're going to cut.
Practice? We're talking about practice, man.
All right.
Drop-ins are loud.
Dan says, just wondering
really
what you think
the
Pats might do at the fullback position. Will they put in a tight end in there when they want to go into those two-back sets or just go without? You got Russ Hochstein.
You will have either
a
line.
A tight
just
end.
Like on defense, they have heavy and light. They have heavy and light backfields.
Yeah,
the light is a tight. Well,
they've also done some stuff in camp with two running backs in the backfield together.
Yeah.
You know, Taylor and Maroney.
But never lined up.
He says it seems
always split backs.
He seems like running backs like
I've
Maroney.
Never seen
like in a pro set, but in the backfield.
Yeah.
You're not talking about split
talking,
on the line.
I mean, that's split backs. That one of them's not going to be the lead blocker.
No. I agree.
They've also done some other things that Mike and Sharon could call in and tell you about.
Also, if you wanted to stick it to Rex Ryan when you've got a sizable lead on the Jets at home, you could flash Michael Corleone on the big screen and write, "Kiss my rings."
I don't think we'll be allowed to do any of that.
No.
By we, I mean two gender and Dvorkin in that department. Well, I guess. That laughing at your gay shirt?
I'd love it if they did that, and then all of a sudden a security guy comes and escorts Dvorkin off the field, takes his credential from him, slaps him in the face, and off he goes.
Throws a couple of dollar bills on the ground,
right.
Breaks the camera.
Right.
How long are we going here?
Yeah, let's go.
Dale.
He doesn't know how to stop him once he starts him.
Dale from Bedford, I like to think fun things will happen during a preseason game, particularly in the second one where some off-the-wall play might be called if a team gets going well. For example, I believe it was 06 when Troy Brown was put in at quarterback for the Pats, which I think was the only occasion in which that ever happened. He handed off twice, and on the second carry, the ball carrier ran through the line and then fumbled. Dunderhead.
And wasn't that the fourth game of the season, the preseason?
I don't know.
Against the Giants?
You think I remember these things?
Because we never get to see third down and never get to see what would happen with Troy throwing the ball or if he could get them into the end zone.
No.
Because that's why he was upset because the guy fumbled.
Well, I don't think you were going to see him throw the ball.
Any ideas what might happen tonight if things get going very well and the Pats put in a couple of wrinkles?
Yes, but I can't tell you.
It won't have anything to do with whether it's going well or not. If Bill has something that he wants to work on, he'll do it. It's not going to have any. They didn't put Troy Brown in a quarterback because things were going well.
Right. It's not because
it was because
they
wanted to see if Troy Brown could be an emergency quarterback, much like they used Kevin Falk in that Wildcat.
They were doing
year.
The Wildcat before the Wildcat. Troy Brown.
As Bill says, the Wildcat started in 1912.
I know.
And that night, not to throw cold water on it, they didn't run the Wildcat.
They ran a traditional offense with a quarterback.
Under center.
Come back to the stories with Paul.
Did you get that email about Curtis Martin in the preseason game running out and tripping? That would be funny to see.
Yeah. I know. I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
I don't either, but I wouldn't have, so. anything that happened before yesterday, Andy doesn't remember.
Strippers wants to know how much how much playing time will Brady get tonight?
Less than last week.
I'm going 15 snaps. That's what I said last week, and he played, what, 24? I missed.
I was off. 12 to 15 is a good one, depending on how it plays out.
I would be surprised if he played more than last week.
Stunned.
Two series. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know how many series.
You're already off your count because you wanted three quarters total in the preseason, right?
Yeah.
And he's at two quarters.
Yeah.
Right.
If they go three and out twice, I think he's playing more than six plays.
Jolan Merrimack says Ben Watson's salary for 09 is $910,000. That's what he says.
Good to know.
You know, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure they're getting it from Miguel. But that's
Meagle.
Yeah, that's a little less than I thought. So there's really not much savings there.
Let's see. Brad says, another good show. I know this isn't a hot-button topic, but if the Pats keep 9 O-linemen, who are the four backups, provided Neal is a starter? Also, who is your pick for long snapper?
Ingram.
I just love snapper. How he says it for some reason.
Long snapper. Long.
Did he say, assuming that Stephen Neal is the starter?
Right.
Yeah.
We are assuming Stephen.
Why would we not assume that?
Hochstein, Vollmer, Britt.
O'Callaghan.
I don't think O'Callaghan's going to make it.
Really?
Yeah. No, I don't think so either.
You can't keep Britt and O'Callaghan.
He's
right.
A single. Hoker
does
is
too
probably going to be on PUP now.
Yeah, I would say.
Probably. Or Lavoie.
Lavoie. I'd say he, yeah.
So we won't have to say au revoir to Lavoie?
Not yet.
Todd.
You could literally take like any four.
Ryan Wendell has been very active on the interior, playing center and both guard spots.
Yeah.
Kind of doing a little bit of the Vollmer, getting some reps with
Does
the
he
ones.
He get it over Yates?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Hochstein.
Sad as I, it
Hochstein,
is.
Hochstein, Wendell.
Vollmer.
Vollmer. And then I think it's a real toss up.
Are we forgetting any?
Britt. Or I think
how many
gonna
tackles,
have
Hornberger?
How many tackles do you need?
Well, because Hochstein plays
Hornberger?
Guard or center.
Right.
Wendell plays guard or center.
Flu.
Vollmer plays tackle, and Britt plays tackle. So you have two backups at each spot.
He stopped listening.
Yeah, I don't know if you need two backup tackles. They didn't have two last year, right? Oh, no, they did. They had Britt and Lavoie.
They had Britt and Lavoie.
Oh, Lavoie.
Lavoie.
Sorry.
Devray.
Yeah, so maybe there's room for two of them.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition.
Once
of
again, we crawl to a finish.
PFW Progress.
Britt and Lavoie.
Now, hold on.
Britt.
I got to remind people that 4:15, you can watch the induction ceremony of Jim Nantz live.
Hey, Fred.
Also, Billy Sullivan will be inducted as a contributor to the Hall of Fame.
That's pretty cool.
What?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
If it works.
So, 4:15 live on Patriots.com. I will be blogging starting at 6 o'clock.
The curse
finishing words. At 6:20.
Right? Hopefully that isn't the
case.
You're
going to stop.
Hopefully the internet
gonna say,
will
what are you weather
you
starting
for
to
dinner in
the
press box?
Comes, you're going to be out of gas.
I'm going to start at 6.
6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Whew. Hour and a half pregame show.
I could take – they have a little thing where you can, like, take time out and say I'll be back in 10 minutes or something in case I have to go pee-pee.
LOL.
Yeah. LOL means laugh out loud.
Thanks.
Good, Paul.
All right.
I thought it was loser
what
online.
Else do we have to see? So we have the game.
It is.
We have the game
we
tonight.
We do have the game.
And then we...
we'll see you next Tuesday.
There's no more practices. Anything else?
No, there are.
There
just,
are, but we're not
any
public.
Other news I have to give people before...
Yeah, Andy will be on the pregame show tonight on the Sports Hub.
Oh, there you 98. Go. 98.5. Andy will be a guest on the Sports Hub. Paul, where are you going to be?
I'll be on the Bob Blad show.
It was really fancy.
Eric, where are you going to be?
Who's Bob Black?
In the press box.
I don't know.
He's giving him $100
gift certificate to the Forge, though.
Paul doesn't heard of care.
Him. It's a local sports show?
Yeah. It's like a
real local.
Yeah, it's, I think it's New Hampshire.
Real local.
Something like that.
If you're not down the block, yeah. You can't get it.
It's at the end of the parking lot.
We've had a guy used to write a media column for us, John Mallory. He's involved with him, and I've been on the station with
John
him.
John Mallory's still around?
I'm sure he
didn't die
somewhere.
And Eric, where will you be?
I'll be with you in the press box, Fred.
Okay.
Keeping
he'll
you
be
company.
Feeding you
helping
good blog
you
with the blogs.
Helping you, okay, yeah, good. Point things out for you.
All right. Well, that's going to be
Brady
it for
takes
this
the
edition.
Field,
we'll
point
see
that
you
out.
Next
okay.
Tuesday.